Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! What a beautiful, 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 stunningly gorgeous day it has been here in the hills and hollers. Last night as we began the program, a gentle yet persistent snow was falling here. And Agnes and I awoke this morning to find the world reduced to a stunning monochromatic tableau. Everything blanketed in white. The last of the leaves driven from the trees. A 6-inch blanket of snow on the ground. And that stirring silence that only a deep snowfall can bring. When the snow itself seems to absorb the very music of life itself. An overcast sky, and in the morning about 18 degrees Fahrenheit, and just lovely. As is always, seems always the case, like unto the Robert Frost poem, I had promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. But I wanted nothing more in the world right then than to throw on multiple layers of warm, heat-retaining clothing, a pair of water- and cold-resistant boots, bundle up, grab the camera, and head off to some quiet place where the snow would be trackless and the loudest noise would be an accumulation of powder falling from a bare tree limb. It was exquisite. But I did have things to do, and I went and did them. Meetings and a dentist appointment to take one of the children to. The roads were a little messy early on, but they cleared for the most part. The folks at the state road did an admirable job of clearing the main arteries. But all day long I thought, I want to be somewhere alone with my thoughts. In all that beautiful, desolate silence. Because when you get a first snow, and your first snow is like what we got, it turns your mind inward. And it makes you think of what before had seemed mundane, and now seemed a perfectly reasonable use of your time. Last night, as the snow fell, I engaged in that time-honored tradition, not tradition, but that time-honored vocation of looking around for things to do inside. And, you know, the Zen masters talk about going and washing your rice bowls. Well, I did something similar. I got out a pair of nice leather boots that hadn't been gone over for a while, and started working saddle soap into them. After a couple of treatments with that. We'll go with the mink oil. And then I'll spray it down with spray them down with silicone. Harness mending for the 21st century, if you will. Working with one's hands, letting one's mind run idle, and focusing only on a rather mundane task at hand, but reveling in everything else that isn't happening around it. And I think I'll work on my boots some more after the program's over this evening, because it was satisfying in the extreme. And we're supposed to get more snow either tonight or tomorrow, maybe on Thursday. And hopefully it'll stay this way for a little bit. It was, in fact, a beautiful day today. It was an exquisite day. And then I came home and started preparing for the show, and just like that little T-shirt slogan out there, "What a beautiful day, now watch some sorry bastard come along and louse it up." And that's kind of what happened, really. My good, peaceful mood, my spirit of relaxation, right down the toilet. Yep. Because I got home and saw that what had happened, what I expected to have happened, happened. That is, in a sign that does not bode well for the coming Democratic Congress, particularly the Senate, Harry Reid screamed, "Oh, Jesus, Joe, don't hurt me, don't hit me again, Joe. Please, we love you, Joe." And Joe Lieberman, a man who did everything short of calling Barack Obama a communist, was allowed to retain his chairmanship of the Senate Homeland Security Committee. And I am simply sickened by that. The Democratic caucus vote, the final tally was 42-13 to knuckle under and give a Quisling a profound level of oversight power in the United States Senate. 42-13. I assume that among others, Patrick Leahy was one of the 13. Good on you. That Iowa Senator Tom Harkin was another of the 13. I've always respected Tom Harkin. At one point in time, I thought he would have made an excellent president. Oh, Joe's going to give up his Environment and Public Works subcommittee chair. But somehow that doesn't seem like the punishment quite fits the crime. These senators, they have many things. They have much. There is little in life that a member of the United States Senate could desire and not have in the way of material goods. Heavens to Betsy, they get some things that they didn't even want in the first place. Look at poor Ted Stevens. Just sitting around, the next thing you know, he's got a bunch of work being done on his house, and he didn't know a damn thing about it. But you and I, we prize loyalty. We prize honesty. We are loyal one to another, and we are honest with each other. but the same does not apply to the United States Senate. You know, Alabama's Richard Shelby, he used to be a Democrat. Why not give him a committee chair, too, Harry Reid? Merciful God. Yeah, some choice words from Harry Reid. Ah, he really let Joe Lieberman know that the sheriff was going to get tough. Harry Reid said, "We're looking forward. We're not looking back. This was not a time for retribution. It was a time for moving forward on the problems of this country." And then there's Joe, who I would say in such a circumstance should sort of say thank you and move on, but no, holy Joe Lieberman. One of the biggest bigots in the Senate said, "This is the beginning of a new chapter, and I know that my colleagues in the Senate Democratic Caucus were moved not only by the kind words that Senator Reid said about my longtime record, but by the appeal from President-elect Obama himself that the nation now unite to confront our very serious problems." Did Obama really say that? Did Obama involve himself in this discussion? Did Obama send word to keep this filthy little quisling as the chair of the Homeland Security Committee? Did he do that? Or is Joe helping himself to a little bit of literary license? One wonders. Now, Joe went on to say, "There are some statements that I made that I wish I had not. In the heat of campaigns, that happens to all of us. But I regret that, and now it's time to move on." I wonder how the Democrats in the Senate will feel the first time that Joe stands up with the godforsaken, motherless, soulless Repiglicans to filibuster a piece of important legislation, legislation that might be critical to, rebuilding the infrastructure of the country, might be critical to making the lives of working Americans actually better, and he stands up and starts talking about how conservative he is. How you gonna feel about that, Harry? "Well, it's time to unite." But he's not uniting, Harry! He doesn't want to unite. He just used you like an old gut bucket. And the other 41 members of the Democratic caucus. God, does loyalty mean nothing? Is this what we're supposed to expect from this significant majority in the United States Senate that we dove into our wallets for and busted our asses for and knocked on doors for? Is this what we're going to expect? Is this what we're going to get? I fear, in fact, that it is. Ken Salazar, you remember Ken Salazar, the Colorado Democratic senator who spoke glowing words of recommendation for Alberto Torture Boy Gonzalez at his confirmation hearings. That Ken Salazar. He said, "It's time to unite our country." It was very clear people want Senator Lieberman to be part of the caucus. So there you go. Feel good? Yes, we can. The Senate just said, no, we can't. We cannot demand of those who would hold leadership positions that they at least exhibit a bare de minimis degree of loyalty. No, we can't. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, you know, I was in a really good mood until I started listening to you.
I do that to myself sometimes. Sorry, I didn't mean to carry over to you.
Oh, man. Lieberman, it's sort of like, it's like he's in Lieberman world. Well, we're all in Lieberman world, and everyone's just sort of frozen in time.
And Harry Reid's got some sort of twisted Stockholm syndrome going on.
Everybody suffers from this inertia, really, up and down the whole in Washington. The same people who just, like, stare with their, just sit their mouths agape. I guess they're agape at the concept of Lieberman world. These are the same people who just let Bush get away with murder for 8 years. I mean,
well, there's that.
I mean, they're good at this. They.
What I mean is it unfair for me to ask, Reverbo? Is it unfair for me to ask what it's going to be like when it really gets serious?
No, it's not unfair, and it's not unfair to ask. See, the problem is, you know, the concept of picking your battles. You know, it's something, you know, let's not shoot all our guns at the ants. Let's wait for an elephant to come by. And it seems to me the problem always is there's just too many sides to everything anymore. There's so many angles and so many concerns and considerations that they just talk themselves out of doing things that, I mean, at what point do your principles, it's so easy, it's just so easy. If there were 64 or 65 Democratic senators, would Lieberman be out then, do you think? If they had the numbers? I mean, is it just a numbers thing, or are they just, they simply can't even deal with it?
No. I don't think so. Yeah. Well, he's not a Republican, you know. I mean, he votes with us some of the time. We might as well give him one of the most powerful chairmanships in the Senate, one that has direct oversight over the executive branch. You know, why not?
Well, I mean, that's like, I don't even see how some of these people get out of bed, brush their teeth, and go to work in the morning because they might get hit by a car. Lieberman might. I'm starting to love the whole concept of Lieberman. I don't know why. Lieberman might turn Republican. What is this, a joke? The guy already is one.
What happens the first time he wants to subpoena, say, a member of the Obama administration, and he's got his vote and all the Republicans on the committee?
Yeah, well, what does happen? The man also did just a bang-up job heading up that ethics committee, didn't he? God, I don't know, man. It's back to this. You just need somebody. Look. That's what Obama, that's his catchphrase. His signature thing is when he goes, look.
Yeah.
You ever heard him
do
that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I really need him to do that. Look.
But that's the thing.
This is how it's going to be. We can't spend the next 4 years hearing everybody's side of these stories. We're going to do something, and look, this is how it's going to be. We got to hope he does that.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. I think Lieberman was lying. I don't think Senator Obama, he was still Senator Obama, I don't think Obama injected himself into this saying that it's time to go move on and we've got to treat Joe Lieberman with kid gloves. I don't think he did that. I think that's just a reference to his speeches about coming together and uniting. But, of course, Joe Lieberman's like one of those people, one of those really weird stalker groupies who listens to the latest disc. And he's singing straight to me. You know what I mean?
I don't think the president elect. Like, that's not what I mean when you want somebody to say, look, let's just, you know, kiss and make up and let's move on. This isn't important. I want him to say, look, things are really clear to me. That's why you all elected me. And Lieberman, you're clear to me, too. You know, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. But he's not going to get into this right now. Again, they're going to pick their battles. I don't know what they're going to do anymore. But I know what you and I should do, and I was thinking about this, and we should get into the spam business, evidently. It's a thriving concern.
Yeah. Well, there's Hormel has spam, and then Armour has Treat, and what's left for us? We could go into the yuck. We could just call it yuck.
We could call it yuck. I don't know if that's been if that's a registered trademark or not, but I was thinking we can take all those hot dogs, all those wieners that you got so much of up in West Virginia, right?
Mm-hmm.
We could get ourselves, Head-On could somehow get involved in this. Head-On yuck. We could get maybe a hydraulic press, okay, and some kind of a hopper. Now, hear me out here.
Okay. Okay?
You just in the hopper, go all the wieners, right?
Mm-hmm.
This way, you'd spin out the West Virginia population, who definitely sounds like they need to go on a diet. Round up all the hot dogs into the hydraulic press. Out comes the yuck. We can it, and we ship it and sell it to people in, like, Wisconsin.
Wow.
This would be huge.
Now, see, I'd rather ship it to Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia and Oklahoma and Texas and places like that.
I don't think there's going to be a shortage of, in order to save your state, other states will have to be sacrificed.
Well, we've been sacrificing West Virginia long enough. It's about damn time it's somebody else's turn. Wow, that's really mean-spirited of me.
Yeah, but the other night you said that hot dogs are poor people's food. And it really got me thinking about that. And What is it? When are people going to get tired of? Sometimes when there's labels, you know, the labels kind of are there for a reason. And I'll tell you, if I was living in that town in your state that came in last, you know,
yeah, Huntington, that, sure, yeah.
I wouldn't be happy about that. I would want to.
No, they just feel like it's, well, you know, we couldn't really do anything about it. We are what we are. Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I mean, poor people and rich people are both born with the same amount of brain cells, aren't they? I mean, I'm just wondering why, you know, what.
Well, the funny thing is that if you really go to what used to be poor folks' food, it's things like turnip greens. And garden vegetables, and things that you grow out back of the place, and you can it and put it up for winter. The meats, you know, there's a reason that the things like jowl and fatback were part of the classic old poor American diet, because it was the cuts that the well-to-do didn't want. And the funny thing is, now you can go into restaurants, of course, and pay a fortune to get the food that the well-to-do didn't want, that the well-to-do wants now, that the poor folks who started out eating it can't afford anymore. And we got hot dogs and spam and potted meat food product spread.
I would be...
Contains less than 0.1% beef lips.
Yeah, reading the can is usually pretty exciting.
Yeah, I never got past the potted meat, the ingredients label.
I just it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. The problem with it, with a democracy is that you have the freedom to be stupid, and I don't think there's nothing we can do about that.
Well, democracy, when it's not done right, is otherwise known as mob rule.
Yeah.
So, but the fact of the matter is this, I mean, like Lieberman in the Senate, that wasn't mob rule. You know, mobs are generally kind of angry. But in the Senate, it's the world's most exclusive country club. And everybody's got their checkered polyester pants. You know, of those 13, that was by secret ballot, wasn't it? I seem to recall reading that it was. So we can't.
Yes, it was.
You know, I suppose we can only guess at who the 13 patriots were. Tom Harkin was pretty plain spoken, and so was Pat Leahy. That's two. You'd like to hope one of them was Russ Feingold. You'd like to hope one of them was Barbara Boxer, but Barbara Boxer went to Connecticut and campaigned for Joe Lieberman. So you don't know. Kerry? John Kerry? John Kerry spoke up for him.
John Kerry spoke up for him. Well, yeah, I don't. You don't even know. Yeah. This must not have been important to him. We'll find out what is really important and what isn't as the months go on here. I mean, there's no, you know, maybe Lieberman is just forget about it.
I don't know. Could dare one hope that someone has had a backroom conversation with him? Listen, sucker, we've got an agreement here. You're going to keep that chair, that gavel, because it's so important to you. But you're going to vote the way we want you to. And the only way we can find out is to see how long it takes for Holy Joe to stab the Democratic Party in the back. Where does he stand on employee free choice, for instance? We'll find out. We know where he stands on Iraq.
That's a scene I'm imagining in my mind. I mean, yeah. Those senators, some of them can roll their sleeves up, get pretty rough. You don't want to go in that back room. You don't want Lieberman then want to go back there. Get tied to that chair and have them read them the Riot Act.
Get wood. Around here we call it getting woodshedded.
Yeah. It's just funny thinking about Lieberman. I didn't trust that guy as far as you could throw him. He's just like...
Well, that's the thing. Harry, at this point, I have no faith that anything that I've just set forward could possibly have happened. Harry Reid is like an abused spouse. You know, the one that sits there with the great big black eye, and you say, what happened? And the abused spouse has walked into a door.
I thought they were thinking about Hillary Clinton possibly take Harry Reid's place.
Well, I guess now she's papers in Australia as well as The Guardian are reporting that she's going to be Secretary of State.
Yeah, that's the word.
And we've got an exciting new Attorney General nominee, apparently.
Who might that be?
His name is, doggone it, had it right here. Holder. His name is Eric H. Holder Jr. He will be America's first African American Attorney General.
Really?
He was the number two guy in the Clinton administration Justice Department. And that's all well and good. There's only one problem. This guy is a highfalutin defense lawyer from Washington, D.C. That means that instead of defending, say, the car wreck victim or the person who got crushed by the defective machine, he defends the corporations and the insurance companies. Do you remember how inspired we were when I think it was in during one of the it was during one of the debates when Barack Obama brought up the issue of Colombia and free trade, and he referenced the fact that right-wing death squads had been marching through Colombia and killing labor leaders?
Yeah, destroying every organized labor effort they had.
That was inspiring, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, this is the other side of the inspiration coin, because Eric H. Holder Jr. has been involved and engaged as the lead counsel in defending Chiquita in the very charges that Obama mentioned.
Wait a minute. I'm still on the honeymoon part here. Why are you doing this?
I'm trying to be on the honeymoon.
Or should we just start getting dismayed now and save a lot of time? You remember in MASH,
yeah.
Hawkeye and Trapper were wondering very quickly if they should just start hating Frank right away, you know, so it would just save all that time.
Right.
This isn't working for me already. I want Obama, I want him to be...
But he never was gonna be.
Yeah, oh no. Now we're describing like it's Bill Clinton all over again.
I wouldn't say that. I think Barack Obama will have the common sense to not go places that Bill went.
I just want Obama to be fearless, that's all. I want him to just go ahead and make decisions.
Bill Clinton cited Eric H. Holder as one of the reasons he decided to pardon Mark Rich.
Quick reset the Mark Rich story for me. I forget this.
He was the filthy scumbag who had taken up residence in Switzerland after being busted on tax charges and stuff. That was the thing that got him notoriety in most of the country. But hereabouts, Reverbo, Mark Rich was the guy who did everything in his power to destroy the Aluminum Workers Union at a place called Ravenswood Aluminum in Jackson County, West Virginia.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Huh. And the new attorney general was instrumental in doing what, the Mark?
Getting him a pardon.
Getting him a pardon. Oh.
From Bill Clinton.
Well,
but I'm not nearly as head up about that as I am the business in Colombia. This guy was literally lead counsel for Chiquita and was instrumental in arranging the plea deal whereby no executive for Chiquita went to prison after it was proven that those executives had had a hand in murdering labor leaders in Colombia. Sorry.
Well, he must be good at his job.
I guess.
Let's go on to a different topic.
I tried to start out in my happy place, but then, like I said, I got the Lieberman news and everything. All the snow turned yellow, if you will.
Well, Ben, I've done a little amateur pressing, and I'm telling you, it's doing some amateur hydraulic pressing on the Saturday. Making spam is gonna. There's nothing like that on a frosty winter day, really.
Well, you know what we really are going to do, and this may put off some folks, but I'm sorry. It's coming on what we call deer season hereabouts.
Yeah.
And my son-in-law is quite the hunter. And we're going to make jerky's when you cut off little thin strips and dry them. I guess technically we're going to make pemmican. Because we'll grind it up real fine and then spice it and everything and pull it out in strips. And that's better than spam any day of the week.
That sounds... So it is like beef jerky, kind of?
It's like beef jerky, only, you know, you dry it and everything, but you can spice it and add things to it because it's ground up real fine, and then you use one, you know, well, you know, like the caulking guns that you use, you know, to caulk your bathtub?
Absolutely.
It's like that. You squeeze it out in little strips and dry them that way instead of cutting thin strips straight from the haunch.
Oh.
And you American. Get...
Isn't that what, like William Shackleton took to, like, the Antarctic? Didn't they take cans of that with them?
Well, I think they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's delicious, and we're going to be making some of that, so that'll be fun.
Well, very good, very good.
We'll hickory smoke of it and smoke some of it in the... Actually, we'll use apple wood in the smoker.
So if it doesn't really turn out the way you thought, and are you going to try to see if anyone will bail you out, you know, maybe with some taxpayer dollars?
I was already planning the bailout, Reverbo.
I think I would go.
Because there's no way we can make a profit at this.
The only thing
the beef jerky in West Virginia is too big to fail.
Exactly. And I mean, you just got to kind of come with your hand out. Just get in line, and we'll take care of you.
Right.
It's so funny that the that they think it makes perfect sense to just throw that good money after bad like they do.
Well, we've already thrown the good money and the bad. You know, that's somewhere between, what is it? We've given out $2.5-3 trillion, and only Hank Paulson and Ben Bernanke know who got it, and they're not telling anybody. Yeah, there's some government transparency I can get behind, not. But, you know, we got $700 billion in the hopper, and, Detroit only wants a paltry $25
billion. Yeah, the word on that, or someone mentioned to me that they just want to stay solvent until after they get done with their negotiations with the auto workers union coming up.
Well, that, and they probably want to stay solvent to the end of the next quarter, and then it's Katie bar the door. And that's the problem. They will always blame labor.
Yep.
And I've got a classic example of it here. Let's see. Just one second. It's the several right wingers talking about whose fault it is. Just on it like a duck on a June bug. There it is. Senator Jim Demented, Republican from South Carolina. And see, I hate to be this way, but this guy is so just butt crazy.
No, you don't.
I mean, he's, you know, nuts, Jim Demented. And so anytime that this guy is for or against something, I know pretty darn well that I better be on the other side of it. I mean, it's just a barometer. It's like the old thing in the old Sergeant York movie. If you was a heading for the American lines, Kraut, which way would you march? I would march that way. Well, we'll march in the other, because he knew the German would lie to him.
There you go.
So if Jim Demented says he's against something, I verge on being for it. He said some auto manufacturers are struggling because of a bad business structure with high unionized labor costs and burdensome federal regulations. Taxpayers did not create these problems, and they should not be forced to pay for them.
So, let's review. The reason that Detroit still thinks it's 1965 is because, let me check this statistics book. My book says that hardly anybody, there isn't a union problem in this country anymore. They're all but evaporated.
7.5% of the private sector workforce is unionized.
It was like 30% in 1960 or something like that.
33% was the highest we ever reached, and that was the middle of the Eisenhower administration.
Yeah, okay, yeah, there you go.
Then there's Senator John Kyle, and that guy's, I think he's huffing Raid or something. He's so nuts.
Oh, God.
You know, just spray it in the plastic bag and, yeah. Oh, all my legs are wiggling. For years, they've been sick. They have a bad business model. They have contracts negotiated with the United Auto Workers that impose huge costs. The average hourly cost per worker in this country is about $28.48. Ooh, my lower leg's itching a little bit. Let me scratch it with my upper leg. For these automakers, it's $73. And for the Japanese auto companies working here in the United States, it's $48.
Yeah. They wouldn't want to go exploring the differences between the Japanese car companies and the U.S. car companies at any greater depth, do you suppose?
Well, where's
they
he getting?
Swim around on the surface and read that script, that dusty script they've been reading all this time. I mean, it's just enough to. But didn't you know this was coming? Of course you did.
Yeah, and then here's the pièce de résistance, Reverbo.
Yeah.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know. If you pay the auto workers, or the benefits and all of those things are maybe too high. We have, like in America, you sell a car, and you have $2,000 of each car just goes to benefits.
So I think that there's a way of reducing all of that, make them more fiscally responsible.
But you're scaring me when you do things, when you do that.
Well, the only downside was if you didn't say California. Because, you know, if you're really going to do Arnold, you got to say California. But yeah, this is, I mean, I'm gonna, no.
Look, they can, oh, there we go, look. Let's go ahead then and throw the healthcare issues into this mix and put it in our press, hydraulic press, and squeeze it. And this would be a fine time to tackle that one as well. If you're tackling the oil companies, we might as well get everybody on Medicare and just get it done. I mean, if they want to, that would certainly make a huge dent in their problems. I'm not even sure that I don't know what Obama's plan is. I don't know if he really wants the private sector to continue offering insurance, health insurance to people or not. I'm not really super clear on that. But I don't know. How do you feel about it? I don't think, why should like United Airlines or GM or even like Billy's Hardware be in the health insurance business? Does that make any sense?
Why should anybody be profiting off something that serious?
Really?
Because, you know, that's the only healthcare system we've ever known in America, and it's not working. And so when you've got something that's, you know the old line, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, this is broke, and by extension, you do fix it.
Well, it's horribly broke. Don't you think that would, everybody can agree that that's part of Detroit's woes. Hell, that's part of all industries' woes here, and it's just high time that. I mean, I just think that, it's in the mix. Better deal. You got to deal with that too. I'm just afraid that they're going to just end up. You know, they're going to do this. They're going to write a check to Ford and GM and Chrysler, and in about 9 or 10 months, that money will be gone.
It will. Well, I think there's every likelihood of that, Reverbo. But if we're going to do this, I don't want to do this crazy like. I want a receiver. I want a federal receiver who will receive stock at current value from any our automaker being bailed out. And I want an agreement that any monies paid will later be used to purchase the stock back into the company at fair market value. That's free market economics, isn't it?
If you're gonna, you better get something for your health. Oh yeah, is that on the table? Or you think they're gonna do it?
Oh hell no! I think it might. At best, it's a loan at this point. Because as Wayne pointed out on the program last night, you know, we loaned Chrysler money and Chrysler paid the money back.
Maybe Lee Iacocca has a different set of principles than these people. I mean, these people, like I wrote you last night, they want to put your big butt in a big pair of pants in a big car.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. And then they want to act like they're responding to consumer desires and needs. Well, trust me, nobody wanted a big, ugly, honking minivan that gets 9 miles to the gallon. I don't know anybody that wanted one.
But if you've got more than two kids, well, your choices were limited.
There was nothing wrong with the station wagon. It was around for years. Subaru makes a great one. I own one.
Oh, I love Subaru wagons.
Oh, that Outback is fantastic.
But, now, you know, Detroit says, no, we can't build none of them because American people don't want them.
That's crap.
And all them people out there buying them Subarus have been tortured and tormented and had guns put to their head to make them buy them.
Right.
And then
they shove it down our throats. These marketing people just, I don't know what it is. They tool up and now they got to unload these big pieces of crap.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Now they could make wind turbine parts as easily as they make fenders.
Well, sure. I mean, look at the Second World War. Our auto factories retooled to produce aircraft and tanks and jeeps and all kinds of things, and submarines, and guns.
Well, that's got to be part of the conditions, too. I mean, you know, we get these people in there. God, I wish Obama would take office tomorrow. So many things can go wrong between now and January, Bob.
Believe me, and the Bush administration is counting on every one of them going wrong. The whole end game is hogtie Barack Obama. I mean, I just got an email rolling in from our buddy David in South Carolina, who pointed out in another great Harry Reid moment that he attached the unemployment extension to the auto bailout, so it's going to take a while to get it through the pipeline. And David notes, thanks to him, millions of us will not have any money for Thanksgiving. Way to go, Democrats.
Oh, that was stupid. It's like all that stuff they attached to the, at the last minute, to the $700 billion bailout thing.
Yeah, the thing goes from a page. Yeah, it goes from a page and a half to the size of the Patriot Act. Yeah, I know.
Well, once they all, the light bulb goes off and they go, hey, nobody's going to vote against this. Let's just pack this with pork. Once again, what goes around comes around. We're back to pork.
We're back to spam.
We're back to spam. Oh, God. Well, I guess I will let you get on with your show. Oh, I had one more thing. In the beginning of your show, does the announcer actually say that you are in beautiful West Bipod?
No, by God.
Oh, by God. I will.
Although some evenings I feel like I have been replaced by a pod.
Yeah, I was thinking this is some sort of like a who am I? Hey, I'm a Bipod. It was unclear to me.
Yes.
So it's beautiful, high in the mountains, in beautiful West by God?
Yeah, that's what we say around here. West by God, Virginia.
There you go. All right.
Because it's hard to get a Southerner to understand that West Virginia is actually a state and not a geographic location in the Old Dominion. Seriously. My 90-year-old neighbor back down in Alabama, every year we'd come up here twice a year on vacation to visit relatives. And, you know, she'd pick up the mail and get the newspaper out of the yard and all that stuff. She'd say, well, y'all have a fine time in Virginia now. You know, I've got an aunt in Roanoke. And it's like that all over. And, well, where are you in Virginia? Well, I'm not. I thought you was in Virginia. You said you was in West Virginia. I am in West Virginia. It's not Virginia. It's some sort of a mental block thing that's been going on since June 20th, 1863, when we got turned into a state, which was arguably unconstitutional, but never mind. All kinds of unconstitutional things happened between 1860 and 1865.
Could be, but you got to get people in your state. You got to get them trim, and you got to get them fit and smart, and you got to kick out the coal companies.
The minute we kick out the coal companies, we'll start getting trim and fit.
Because there's no way, place to go but up for those folks. This is sad. The whole thing is sad.
Yeah, it kind
but
of is.
On that note.
Fire up the hydraulic press, Reverbo.
I bet I can get a good price on a used one on eBay right now.
I bet you can.
Make it personal, my friend.
You too. Later.
All right, bye.
Bye now. And let's roll along. Hey, welcome to the program, Albert.
Hey, Brother Bob. I'll tell you what, I don't know who's kidding, but Wisconsin and Minnesota have been selling you guys the spam and hot dogs.
Well, that's the... Yeah, I know. Chicago. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. If all the hot dogs packages actually had to have the USDA standards printed on them, yeah, like at the bottom of the hot dog package where it says contains less than one-tenth of 1% rat feces.
Yeah. There are, you know, just like with everything in life, there are the good versions and bad versions.
Well, you know, every now and then you're going to get a finger in your chili. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Or a tooth and whatever, you know. Well, you know, Bob.
Hey, Grandpa, what's for supper? Yeah, I know.
It is over. And now we have to maintain our integrity and call it like it is. This is Obama's depression.
It is?
Maybe not that far. No, not that far. We don't have to go that far. But we do you know, I mean, I was just getting used to being a Muslim, and now I have to get used to Joe Lieberman maintaining his Senate seat.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you've got to get used to being a Muslim, but you got to get used to being a Muslim who's okay with having a profoundly anti-Muslim bigot as the head of Senate Homeland Security. We square on that?
And he's done such a good job with oversight of the Bush administration.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, that was practice. Now he's going to be really fierce. Oh, he's not going to let that. He's not going to let that Muslim, commie, Islamo-fascist Obama get away with anything.
Well, that's refreshing. Refresh my memory, please. How many convictions have we gotten? Did we even get Padilla? I don't even remember what happened with him. How many convictions have we got?
John Walker Lind.
Really? Did that? You know that?
Well, no, I mean, yeah, that was a conviction because he pled guilty. That was a plea bargain.
Oh, yeah.
Oddly enough, in the federal courts, no less. Not out of Guantanamo.
Oh, for him, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, let's see. Then there was, not him.
How about those guys that wanted those shoes?
I don't think they got the shoe guys either. That was a hung jury or something. They got Padilla, but by the time they got him, he wasn't really Padilla anymore. He was more like Padiddle.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because,
I mean, they got the body of Padilla, but the mind of Padilla had been destroyed long ago by eons in solitary and loud, obnoxious, playing the Barney the Dinosaur theme at him 24/7 at 125 decibels, waterboarding.
Give me the
jumper cables on the testicles, all of that fun stuff.
Oh, that's more fun than Barney, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, after 6 hours of Barney the Dinosaur music, I'm like, hey, get the Die Hard and the damn jumper cables. Let's just get it on. I mean,
cut them off!
I've seen those Mel Gibson Die Hard movies or whatever. I mean, just hose me down and get with it, but turn that damn music off.
For real. I'm really sick of the Democrats. I am sick and tired of these people. I am so sick and tired of them. I understand strategery, and I understand, wanting to play this and this and that, and all I can say is Bill Hicks was right again, and they must have played that little intelligence briefing. Shut that water, please. We must have put that intelligence briefing video that Obama got to see right to Lieberman. So they have to have something on him. There's no way. If somebody who says they were my friend or in my group or anything like that ever did anything as in a way that he has done, I couldn't speak to them anymore. And that's just me. I couldn't ever sit there and let somebody do what they've done, go all out, travel all over the world, badmouth me. You know, we got the same kind of thing. I mean, maybe it's just this defeatist attitude of, and I don't buy that kind of crap. I'm not a big keep my enemies close. I'm not a real, if I don't like you, you're going to know it. And that's just kind of how I walk through the world. I don't play this. Oh, we got to, Hillary said this and this and this about us, and Bill has all this money he's raising from, the Arabs and all this other stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I trust Bill Clinton less now than I ever have. And I never trusted that man. And I never really, the only reason I kind of supported him is because of, going after him for some fellatio when we really had some, major problems, and the country was actually doing halfway decent. We had different problems that we should have got addressed that we never did get to get addressed because of, we're all in an uproar because, some really most powerful man in the world is getting a little on the side,
where are you on this Eric Holder appointment?
Is that lawyer you're talking about?
Yeah. One of the lead partners at a prestigious D.C. law firm called Covington and Burling.
Yeah, no. You know where I am with that. That ain't change. That's not change we could believe in, my friends.
Let's see. These are the recommendations from Human Rights Watch in regard to a report that they wrote some time back, and I have our listener Sophie to thank for this. A report some time back called Breaking the Grip, Obstacles to Justice for Paramilitary Mafias in Colombia. That's a mouthful. But yeah. They recommended that in order to assist with the process of ending the ties between the Colombian government and paramilitary death squads, that the U.S. Department of Justice should, among other things, quote, create meaningful legal incentives for paramilitary leaders, a number of whom have already been extradited to the U.S., to fully disclose information about atrocities and name all Colombian or foreign officials, businesses, or individuals who may have facilitated their criminal activities and collaborate actively with the efforts of Colombian justice officials who are investigating paramilitary networks in Colombia by sharing relevant information possible and granting them access to paramilitary leaders in U.S. custody. Eric Holder Jr. has a what lawyers like to call a conflict of interest right out of the box. He is defense counsel for Chiquita Brands. And Chiquita admitted, they entered a corporate guilty plea. And that's another discussion entirely. A corporate guilty plea that it paid one of those paramilitary mobs, right-wing death squads, about $1.7 million over 7 years, and that it also provided the group with a cache of machine guns as well.
What? It must have been Blackwater. They must have sent it down. Cause you know.
Well, under the deal that Holder negotiated in the Clinton administration, he helped put the deal together in the criminal case against Chiquita. No Chiquita official received any jail time. The identity of the key officials involved in the assistance to the paramilitaries, you know, the death squads, were kept under seal and confidential. And Chiquita was fined every bit of $25 million, which it was then allowed to pay over a 5-year period.
Well, we got to have our bananas for 19 cents a pound.
Well, now jot down that 1,700,000 and divide that by 4,000. And then you'll get the per dollar figure that Chiquita paid for civilians to be murdered in the banana region of Colombia. 4,000, Albert. 4,000.
Ridiculous.
And this guy left the Justice Department where he negotiated the deal and turned around and went to work for the people that he got the deal for via the law firm of Covington and Burling. Now, I feel kind of creepy about this because, I said, hey, you know, look, wait till, you know, he hadn't been inaugurated. It certainly can't be his recession. You know, and fighting all the ugly damn smears against him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns around and gets a toady for attorney general. How am I supposed to feel about that, Albert?
I'm betrayed. I feel betrayed. I feel cheated on. And if anybody's ever been cheated on, you know it's not just a simple word. And... you know, this is why I think the insertion of that butt plug, Rahm Emanuel. Now, I like Noah's from the outside of where I am, but from where it looks like from here, that really hurt in that deep way that only a big butt plug like Rahm Emanuel could hurt you. When he announced that, part of me died, and my little hope vine started to wither. Because I knew deep down in my heart that we were not going to see what we need to see. And maybe I'm wrong. I know. Here I am, back and forth, but My God, I'd love to be hopeful. I really would. I like the hopeful Albert. I do. I like maintaining, you know, a certain degree of optimism. I like being, you know, even in the darkest of the dark, I like being that way. And, you know,
well, I know. And, you know, there's a little hopeful Bob, too.
Yeah. Well, and it's okay to be hopeful when it comes to the American people. But now that's part of, that phase is over.
But now we've got a situation where basically the Department of Justice is broken beyond, almost beyond repair, Albert. And it has let corporate America run roughshod for the last 8 years. Now, here comes a corporate criminal defense lawyer, and he's going to rein in the excesses of corporate America when he was part and parcel of slapping Chiquita on the wrist for, murder?
Mm-hmm.
Murder, Albert. Murder.
Hardcore murder.
4,000. Anybody got the answer to that yet? Somebody in the chat room, 1.7 million divided by 4,000? Oh, God, I'm going to have
to. Not much at all.
Start accessories, calculator. Okay, here we go. 1,700,000 divide 4,000 equals $425 per dead Colombian.
Yeah, I knew it was just nothing. It's nothing.
Okay, so remember, $425, but they had to pay a back fee because $25 million divided by 4,000.
You know.
Well, 6,250. So 675. $6,675 per murdered Colombian.
Yeah. Well, hiring a hit. Well, maybe they got a bulk deal because hiring a hitman in this country is at least $10,000, at the very least.
Of course, then again, we pay less than that for the Iraqi civilians we murder. So maybe the Colombians are coming out ahead.
Mm. Well, yeah. Well, you know, I tell you what.
And into the bargain, you know, they get a corporate paradise.
Yeah,
a right-wing corporate paradise.
I'm going to start doing backflips once, you know. Once these fools name, you know, Hugo Chavez as the next Fidel Castro and Obama plays into this bullcrap. You know, I don't know, bud. I really, you know, like, they're deflating all kinds of momentum. You know, you got Joe Lieberman, you got this clown, Rahm Emanuel was bad enough, you know, who's going to be a pit bull? My ass. Give me a break. You know, these guys, they ain't nothing. You know, they're wrong kinds. That's what kind of people they are. You know, you tell them what you want, they say, oh, that's nice, and they go and do the exact opposite. You know, it's like, wait a minute, I voted for you, sucker. What are you doing? Like, I don't want you to vote for some crap Evan Bayh amendment to go to war with Iran. There are no Iranians sending weapons into Iraq. And I think that, didn't that just get proven? How long ago? How long have I been saying that? Have everybody been that knows anything been saying it? The 1% of all the weapons in Iraq are from Iran? That's nothing. But we're going to go to war over this crap? And you bet we will. You bet we will. Because who's Rahm Emanuel? What did Rahm's daddy say? What did he say? Something scummy over in Israel?
Yeah, of course he'll be a friend to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's going to be scrubbing the floors of the White House. He's not an Arab.
Mm.
Now, Rahm has, to be fair, since apologized to the Arab American Muslim Committee.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's a politician, man. Saying I'm sorry is like me drinking this glass of ginger ale. You just don't want me to keep smoking cigarettes, Bob. I'm telling you, I'm half out the door. I'm half back on the cart. I'm telling you, it's just like, you know, I want to have a little bit of hope. There ain't no hope. This is bullcrap. This is gonna be the same crap as usual. And I hate to say it, but it is. Except it's gonna be Democrats. You know, and it's gonna be, you know, it's the same corporate policies. Why the hell is he picking these people? Because he doesn't need to prove to us that he's got experience. He needs to prove to us that we made the right decision putting him into office. I thought this was our victory. I thought this was something that, you know, like, we should be feeling good about. Yeah, not because we've proven that we're not racist or any other bull crap. It's just the fact that there really is going to be some differences. You don't put some, who the hell is this Q-tip that they just put in? All I know is I hear this in regard to Chiquita Banana, I see this and this and this. And then they're going to put Hillary Clinton in charge of Secretary of State.
Oh, but wait. You missed one. You missed one.
Oh, there's a million I've missed. I can't take it all. I just can't.
From the Associated Press, and of course, take that with a grain of salt because, you know, they went pretty right wing in the last few months, but still, quote, Barack Obama's incoming administration is unlikely to bring criminal charges against government workers who authorized or used harsh interrogation techniques, otherwise known as torture, during the Bush presidency. Obama, who has criticized the use of torture, is being urged by some constitutional scholars and human rights groups to investigate possible war crimes by the Bush administration, but two Obama advisors say there's little, if any, chance that the incoming president's Justice Department will go after anyone involved in authorizing or carrying out interrogations that provoked worldwide outrage. Additionally, the question of whether to prosecute may never become an issue if Bush issues preemptive pardons to protect those involved. I'm sorry. Look, this pisses me off. I know, mild. I'm unseasonably mild this evening.
Oh, I Bob, I ain't saying 90% of the words I want to scream right now.
I want, you know, I really do. I want something. You know, there are people out there, and justifiably so, who are excited and hopeful and optimistic for the first time in years about the executive branch of this government. And I don't know, you know, maybe somebody will call in and tell me how to feel good about letting a corporate crony lawyer run the Justice Department. Maybe somebody can do that. Maybe somebody can call in and tell me how I'm supposed to, we don't need to get caught up in the battles of the past, Bob. We just need to move on, like we did after Iran-Contra, like we did after Watergate. Oh, wait a minute. Iran-Contra and Watergate happened because the Iraq War happened because we did move on. We didn't punish anybody, damn it.
We never punish anybody. When was the last time anybody's been punished?
Well, wait a minute. Don't get caught with a $5 rock, a crack in your pocket, because you can do 8 damn years over that.
Yeah, only if you're not the mayor.
Yeah, right.
No, really, literally, when is the last time? I mean, Enron?
Stevens? Ted Stevens?
Ted's punished? Oh, we'll see. Maybe. He might get pardoned. You never know. You know, he might get pardoned for such a long and distinguished career serving the people of the United States of America, the God's very own favorite shat.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you what.
By the way, I've been just so you'll know what the source was, that business about Human Rights Watch in Colombia and the new AG nominee, that's out of Huffington Post. It was originally posted, Sophie tells me, on the 6th day of November 2008, and it was written by Dan Kovalik. Now, how
is that term?
I would really like to see one of those special comments from Olbermann about this. I really would. Because somewhere, you know, we're saying what we're saying here, Albert, and we're carrying on our conversation. And I think it's I think it's among the best in the country that's available. But a million people aren't going to hear it. I'd like a million people to hear this stuff, but right now a million people aren't hearing it, and we're struggling to stay alive. And I'm not going to bring on Ron Paul to talk about the coming Obama New World Order. Now, if you want to, I think right now right now, or in the 3 hours between the 7 and 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Michael the Savage Wiener is having a guy on by the name of Hilmar von Kampe. Hilmar von Kampe is a former member of the Hitler Youth. And he's going to compare Barack Obama to the rise of Adolf Hitler.
Now,
I'm not going to do any of that stupid crap.
No, the right-wingers are just such... I'm glad they're here.
But by God, I have to live a life with some degree of integrity. I have to live a life that is at least facially law-abiding in terms of, you know, I can't do 80 miles an hour through the middle of my small town. I'll get busted and get a reckless driving ticket and whatever else, maybe lose my license. On the other hand, however, the Justice Department can be run by a man who was part and parcel of winking at murder. I don't want to start this administration that way. There are lots of good, upright, decent, moral lawyers with integrity coming out their toenails. What about one of those brave military lawyers who actually stood up to the Bush administration and said, "I can't participate in this kangaroo court"? I guess what I'm asking, Albert, is what does it take to get us away from business as usual? We've had 8 years of damn political corporate cronies, hacks, thugs, and thieves.
Only eight?
Well, lately.
Yeah. I don't know.
And we're going to get another hack.
Yeah.
In the Justice Department. That just about got hacked to death, to extend the metaphor further than it ought to, just about got hacked to death by Alberto Gonzalez, and a man, lest we forget, who spent $10,000 of the taxpayers' money putting a curtain on the demonic boobies of an aluminum naked statue of justice and was terrified of calico cats. Remember John Ashcroft? He seems such a long time ago, doesn't he?
Oh, I don't even remember him. That's how long ago it seems.
So, you know, there's the question.
No, I agree. I think where we're going to be. You know where we're going to be. And it's just, you know, and this is one part of just being, you know, even you go on Crooks and Liars and you look around at the liberal blogs and, you know, and, I mean, I want to drink the Kool-Aid just as much as anybody, but my God, Jesus, you got to pay attention. I mean, are you going to run face first into a wall? You know, it's like, I don't care if it's, you know, it's like, all right, if my favorite brand of hot dog, right, is whatever, at brand X, right? And I always buy brand X, but this time I go in and brand X is blue. I might not buy that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I know.
I'm not eating a hot dog. I mean, seriously.
Oh, I gotta follow up with you because Sophie just hit us again via the email. I knew I recognized that name, Dan Kovalik. Dan Kovalik should know a little bit about Columbia. He's a lawyer, a real, live, honest-to-goodness human and labor rights lawyer. This is the lawyer who brought suit against Drummond Cole of Birmingham, Alabama, because Drummond Cole was in the business of paying off right-wing death squads to go put, a .38 caliber bullet behind the ear of anybody who wanted to form a mine workers union in Columbia. He charged them thus and took them to trial, and a right-wing judge in Alabama fixed it so there was no verdict. In other words, a federal judge in Alabama who would be every bit as comfortable in Birmingham as in, say, Medellin. That's who Dan Kovalik is.
So, well, if I heard you correctly, then that might not be too bad. If I heard it correctly. I don't know. I think I've had a stroke.
I hope not.
Well, I don't know, man. It just seems like it. You know, it just seems like, you know, my comprehensional abilities is just getting sucked out of my head because it's just unbelievable.
Yes, we can cover up for right-wing death squads.
Yeah. I always knew that my wildest, you know, fantasies of, I won't go there, but my wildest fantasies of, you know, Barack Obama, you know, literally, you know, swearing in office, calling Bush's arrest, you know, war crimes and all these tribunals and, like, literally.
It was almost like porn, wasn't it?
Man, it still is. Don't ruin that for me, Bob. I mean, literally coming to the White House you know what I wanted him to I know he wasn't going to do it, but I'd love to see with a big brush in one hand and a bucket in the other and some soapy water with an apron. And that was the first day he goes into the White House. That's what I want to see him wearing. That's what I want to see him carrying into there. You know, and I honestly, heads have to roll. They have to on principle. I mean, it's just on principle alone. The crap that these bastards have done over the past 8 years cannot stand. You know, it's like, if there is no accountability for Bush, then why was there any accountability for Hitler? I know, yeah. Honestly.
Nuremberg.
And
see, well, let me lay it out to you this way, Albert. I'm looking at the NBC version of the Holder appointment story. Headline. NBC, Holder tagged for Attorney General. Subheading, Washington attorney would become first African-American Attorney General. Now, there's 9 paragraphs to this story, okay? There's not a blessed word in it about him being counsel for Chiquita. There's not a blessed word in it about him helping put together the sweetheart deal that let Chiquita off the hook. Not a word. Washington attorney would become first African-American attorney general. And that's the way it'll be played out. Oh, it's another transformative moment for race relations in the United States of America.
Kumbaya, my lord.
I'm not trying to diminish the profundity of Obama's election, because it is profound. The fact that the old, doughy, pasty-faced white guys were screwing up so badly that America elected a man of color to the presidency is profound. But to just look past what this guy has done with a law license, I can't do it, and I wouldn't expect anyone to do it of color or pasty-faced, either one. Or, as I am, pink.
I mean, I don't...
Damn it, morals mean something.
Exactly. Principle means something, and ethics means something. I don't want no attorney general that, oh my God. I mean, there's so much crap that has gone down in Central America that Americans are totally ignorant to. Like, we don't even have the time, the historical context to really grasp the entire situation.
Oh, I know. And see, one of the things that makes me trust Human Rights Watch on what they say about Colombia is that they just dropped a big rock on Venezuela, too. So you've got the far right, or you've got a right-wing extreme and a left-wing extreme, and Human Rights Watch was pretty candid with regard to both. Human Rights Watch was going to have a press conference in Caracas, Venezuela the other day about their latest report on human rights in Venezuela. Well, the security personnel came and rounded them up, held them incommunicado, stuffed them on a plane, and sent them to Brazil. No press conference for you, Human Rights Watch. And by the way, you're getting email now. Jason writes in and says, there's still hope, Albert. Cheer up. Obama hasn't named Robert Rubin or Larry Summers as Treasury Secretary yet.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
I know.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So there you have it. I mean, I love the way NBC sets up its little sidebars in its in its web pages. Video: White House columnist Obama needs to find his inner FDR. Video: looking back at the historic race, and just three more links down. A picture of Elvis and Richard Nixon. Yeah,
lordy,
but,
lordy, lordy. Yeah. You know, I hate to... Yeah, I mean, you're not raining on the parade. Mal, you're just acknowledging the fact that it's raining. And, you know, keeping us focused on the issues that matter to you and us, I mean, these issues matter. And these things aren't just, you know, this isn't just, you know, little tiny quirks and this and that. I don't want to see any of these issues that we talk about just become characterized as, you know, unfortunately, like gay marriage has become. And, you know, I mean, these things, and I'm not saying that we can't fight those things. We have to definitely fight for what's right in those aspects. But, like, these are little issues. These are those little issues. These things that you're bringing attention to us on is like the packing sand when you lay stone. You know, if you don't put that sand down, then those stones will never, you know, they won't stay in one place.
They won't square.
Exactly. And that's what this is. And this is like, and it's just unfortunate because we have to rip up a lot of these paving stones. We have to relay the new path. I mean, we literally have to. And, you know, and we know, I mean, you know, you're right, you know, so they're going to get their little loan, the car company, they're all crying, and who knows what they're going to do. Probably nothing that we can be proud of. But, I mean, that's just common knowledge. But, you know, I mean, what Obama seems like he's setting up, and maybe he's just doing it because he doesn't know. You know, maybe he's just being overwhelmed, you know, like once you become the king or...
No. Eric Holder was a close legal affairs advisor of his during the campaign. And, see, he's apologized for the Mark Rich thing. And I don't demand ideological purity, whatever the hell that is. I know that when you get to a certain level in American society and American business and American law, you will have made some deals with the devil along the way. I recognize that. But there's a difference between having flaws and participating in crimes against humanity. And frankly,
yeah,
covering up what Chiquita did and getting them a slap on the wrist, well, that's participating in, or at least winking at, a crime against humanity.
Well, I can just...
4,000 people, yeah. Albert!
I know, brother. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean,
4,000 widows! God knows, 8,000 orphans! And you sit there in your bespoke suit and you say, well, you know, I think we can work out a plea deal with where Chiquita need not have any of its executives go to prison. We wouldn't want that to happen now, would we? What do you say to perhaps paying $50 million? Oh, you don't want to pay $50 million. Let's pay $25 million in the way of a fine. But no one goes to jail. And let me see here. That works out to $6,675 per dead Colombian. Deal?
Yikes. Wow. You're giving me a time warp here. You're almost making me feel like the colonial days. And...
after all, four dead Colombians is a tragedy. 4,000 is a statistic.
Well, you know me, bud. I can't swallow pills like that, so that's probably why I'm not a lawyer. But, you know, I don't know how these people sleep at night. I don't know. I mean, you know what we should, you know, you got to invent? A home dialysis machine that like, is cheap and effective.
No, I need the Spock's brain machine.
I need to clean my blood from hearing this.
I'm just gonna rewind the whole damn show, and I'm gonna go back to the beautiful monochromatic landscape I witnessed this morning, and we're gonna try all over again.
Reset button. I'm serious. We need a reset.
Do over.
Yes, we need to restart. I said it yesterday. We need to restart the system. And we got to update it. Now we got to restart the system. And, you know, one thing is I don't know and you don't know. And you know, unless you're the president, nobody except the president and people really in tight know, like how much information crosses over the president's desk. With Bush and the way that he's always operated any kind of his companies or anything like that, I mean, it's probably safe to assume that he let most of it go on autopilot. Especially just seeing, you know, like, yeah, he did do this and do that. But most of the time he just likes being king and he said, oh, make sure, get it done, which is why we see such incompetence. And I think that's probably the baseline of incompetence, you know, because nobody knows what anybody else is doing. And so nobody's doing anything. But, you know, I hope, you know, all right, Obama's going to put this guy in, maybe I can hear him. Here's my hope. Here's my optimism. Just so you guys know, I'm not going to get off the phone and go open a vein. But maybe, hopefully, that he will be on top. You know, and I like to believe that Obama has principles. I like to believe that he...
You know, I really do believe that he does. I know I know what a hateful word believe is.
I know.
But there is some essential, real, honest-to-goodness good mixed in with some real, honest-to-goodness brains there.
Mm-hmm.
But now, Albert, he has caught the tiger. And all you can do is grab two ears and put the tail in your teeth and hang on. And that's where I think he is. Light's gone on. And, yeah, we're going to talk about yes, we can some more, and we're going to talk about change we can believe in some more. But we're going to have a bunch of tired, old, murderous hacks, be they Democrats or Republicans, running the show. And as far as I'm concerned, Eric Holder, Jr., is just such a one. I mean, a man that wouldn't send a Chiquita executive to jail, that guy's going to send somebody to jail for war crimes that we committed? Uh-uh. No.
Hillary wouldn't have been any better either, because you know,
Albert, I can't do this show and just say, well, hey, that's lovely. He'll be the first African American Attorney General. Golly gee, Willikers, that's sweet. I can't do that. I cannot do that. That violates every promise that I have ever made getting behind this microphone. No blank checks. No free passes. And if George Bush making Alberto Gonzalez his attorney general was offensive, coming from someone that I take to have a smidgen of morals, Barack Obama, this guy is worse.
Yeah, it's outrageous. It is. It's outrageous. And, you know, the fire, as we said on election night, you know, this is the horn is the, you know, I got to find out what that's called in medical terminology, but, you know, this is the pulse. Yeah, this is the electrochemical static whatever shock that the brain sends to the heart. That's the horn. And you know, I mean, I've heard a couple others, and you know, Randy don't sound too happy about what's been going on, and she was a little bit talking about energy and this and that today, but you know, I just don't think that we will be satisfied in terms of, and I say we, those on the left and those on the left, you know, just those on the right have characteristics and stereotypes. Those on the left have characteristics and stereotypes. And on the left, we're not so lockstep. Like at least
I don't do lockstep. I am the different drummer.
Exactly.
I'm the roadie for the different drummer. We don't even have the drums set up the same way every night.
No. And I think, you know, maybe it's because we have idealism and you know, we embrace consciousness and the whole fact that it exists, which is why that, you know, it's like, you know, I hope Obama realizes, like, what he's going to wind up getting into. Because if he, I mean, and even on the people in the middle and, the, you know, the people that are just new to this whole, you know, process and the people that are new to consciousness, I hope these people understand that, you know, he's going to get shot because there was no horn back in the Clinton. And I say shot, no, not bullet-wise. I say he's going to get shot at from the right and the left. If he doesn't sit here, I mean, like, you know, the right will never shoot a Bush. Oh, Lordy. Oh, he's, you know, look at how they're still defending.
Oh, I know. I got an example of that later in the program. I got to share another email with you before we roll out, though, Albert.
All right.
From Kate down on the coast. Subject line, no rain, no parade. I'm surprised that there's such astonishment at this change. Didn't anyone see this coming? Zbigniew Brzezinski, he and David Rockefeller established the Trilateral Commission, ushered Obama onto front and center stage, sold the tickets, and produced the show. This administration was bought and paid for before the program was printed. The cast of characters was chosen long ago. Why wasn't anyone listening? It was so very easy to get the empty-suited, slick-talking rock star elected. The empty-headed, glazed-eyed mania in the crowds was truly frightening. Now we have the transition to what? To whatever they want us to have, and we will take it. Maybe Obama doesn't know. Not! He's simply a puppet of another color and one who is more articulate for his ventriloquists. Some of that I can buy into, some of it I don't.
I'd probably buy into more of it than anything, because, I mean, when you really break it down, you know, like, you got to look, you know, and I have to applaud what Kate said. You know, I mean, I have an optimism about me, but I also have a grim, I guess, realism where,
Abe Lincoln doesn't get to be president anymore.
No, Abe Lincoln doesn't. But Abe Lincoln, you know, I try not to have too many heroes.
But the fact of the matter was, we don't choose the president. A bunch of people decide to run, and we choose which one of them gets to be president. We don't get to draft a president. So,
well, we have to morphosize them, and we definitely project our hopes, dreams on that, you know, whoever it is. That's
and of the choices we were presented, John McCain.
True.
And Barack Obama.
True.
I still say having that prattling twit a heartbeat away from the presidency would have been a disaster. And I'm just trying to have some perspective here, because on the one hand, if I'm sitting here complaining about Eric Holder Jr., Lord God in heaven only knows what kind of right-wing thug Lumpy McHoover would have chosen.
True.
Does Lieberman have a law degree?
All right. Hang on. I think, all right, the hope here, and maybe what it is, and Kate, you know, not for nothing, you know, we all need a break. We need a little break, and I'll tell you what, you know, you can't have too much of a rest, and maybe that's what that, you know, just we need a little break. We couldn't stand another. If Lumpy McHoover, or whatever you want to call that bastard, if he would have gotten it, forget it. Hey, man, can you imagine what this... There have been people leaving and leaving and leaving. It was really funny. I was at the post office today, and I was like, You know, I made my wife get passport right like 2 years after Bush got in. You know, I was like, oh, you got to have a passport. I'll get one later, you know. And I saw the thing in my little local, I live in a little small town, and I live in real America. Anyway, I'm sorry. Now they're offering in my little small little post office, they're offering passport things. I was kind of like, I should get one. But then, of course, I come, turn on the horn, turn on the radio, oh, I need a passport. But, you know, we needed a break.
You don't need a passport. Chiquita can find you anywhere.
Yeah, see, and that's exactly the point, and that is true. And you know, that's, you know, it's like one of these things that you don't want to sound like so you were tinfoil on your head, but like, let's be honest, man. Reuters and Associated Press are both owned by the same people. They're owned by the same people. You know, the people that write that you know, there are people that run this show. You know, I don't care what you want to say, there are. You know, you.
Oh, I know. Look, you know, Death Squad, come and blow out your brains. Yeah. Chiquita.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, and you know, everybody thought, and I thought too, and it was probably still true, you know, you thought that how Poppy Bush, who used to run the CIA, you know, you always kind of figured, you know, what his son and what he and their whole agenda, that they wanted to, you know, basically turn America into a banana republic just like they did.
Well, look, and there's every possibility in the world that late great prophet whom you revere so well, peace be upon him, Bill Hicks, was actually correct.
Yeah.
That by now Barack Obama has been taken into that dark room, they've started the projector, and he's looked up and gone, dang, this isn't the same angle as the Zapruder film. And the CIA dude goes, nah, it ain't. And he looks up and says, where do I sign? Bill Hicks.
Yeah. So if we're going to take that advice, and we got to remember the advice that this is just a ride.
Just a ride. We're going to get that, third eyeball squeegee clean.
We need that, you know, maybe that would be the end. Maybe we should get the crack and make an LSD-25 and get that in the water supply as soon as possible. Oh, that'll probably bring them to my house, won't it?
sorry. No, yeah, that's all a joke. Hey, Albert, I got to roll along. You've lit up all six lines, brother.
All right, brother. Hit it. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye now. Bye. Wow, everybody just stick around. We're going to get through every one of these phone calls if you'll just stay put. Hey, welcome to the program.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
Oh, okay, this is Larry down in Florida.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just getting back to normal after the election. I spent some time as one of those infamous Florida election officials.
Oh, Lord.
Well, when we became Florida voters after the 2000 event, and I decided that, number one, if there's anything wrong, I needed to get involved and fix it. And number two, I got a lot out of this country, and I figured I ought to put something back in. And so I signed up to be an election official, which is a temporary job, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And put in my application and was accepted, and since then I've worked every election there has been since, and it's been an education, I'll tell you. One thing, I am fortunate to live in a county where our supervisor of elections is honest and competent. She's a Republican and an elected position. But I'll tell you, if anybody should be foolish enough to oppose her in the election, why, I would campaign for her. You know, because that's one of the positions that really party doesn't matter. It's competence that matters. And we've had no problems. This last election, when you were hearing on TV about long lines, on election day here, I had, I was working at one of the biggest precincts in the county. I had maybe 50 people in line at 7 o'clock in the morning. By 7:30, they were gone, and we didn't have a line after that. And that was the case all over the county, because they put on enough people and trained them well enough that they moved them through, and we didn't have a problem. I also worked early voting. Do you have early voting up there?
We do.
Okay. We had, I think it was 6 sites in the county that were early voting sites. The thing there is that it has to be in a government building because it has to be secured at night.
Right. We had it, well, here, we only had 1 site here in my county, and that was at the courthouse.
Oh, okay. That makes it kind of tough. If you have a big county, people spread out. But we had 6, and there were, I was at a small city hall near where I live, which was nice. And do you have people that are outside the polling room?
No.
Okay. We have some kind of requirement that there has to be somebody outside. And, in fact, it's a deputy sheriff that has to be outside, but, of course, they don't want to waste a real one. So
they just deputize folks?
Yeah, I was one of the deputy sheriffs, a special poll deputy.
Did they give you a gun and make you keep your bullet in your pocket?
No, actually, they didn't even give me a bullet. They gave me a little bitty tiny star to wear. But what we're supposed to do is to make sure that the politicians and campaigners stay 100 feet from the door.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And you have to enforce that. Have to make sure people can park properly. And here in Florida, we have a lot of people with walkers, canes, wheelchairs, and, you get a few people that are semi-comatose and whatever. But make sure
that fundamentalist voters, in other words.
Right. We have to make sure that people can get in. They're welcomed. We hold the door for them. And actually, it's a really physically demanding job because you're on your feet all day outside. And I did that for about 10 hours a day for 2 weeks, 6 days a week. And that was a physically demanding job. And then I did it on election day, which was 12 hours. Of voting time plus the setup time and the takedown time and all that. But it was a lot of work. We do get paid.
Yes.
When I signed up for it, I didn't know that it was a paid position. I thought it was volunteer. But we do get paid, and then I finally realized why. Being paid, and we get paid, I talked to my daughter, and what I got paid was the same amount that she pays the kid across the street to babysit, which is, not a whole lot, but it's enough to put you under workman's comp, so if you get hurt, you can't sue them.
So you're not covered by comp?
We are.
I mean,
we're covered by workman's comp, which limits your options if you do.
Oh, yeah. Right, because that forecloses your right at a typical, more traditional civil suit. Exactly.
Exactly, right. That's why they do it, I'm sure.
Yeah, no suits for damages. Never even thought of it that way. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Diabolical, but brilliant.
I imagine the same thing applies to jury duty. If you fall down the stairs, you're getting paid, so you're probably under workman's comp.
Wow.
You ever think of that?
No, it never dawned on me. It absolutely didn't, Larry.
But anyway, as I said, I put a lot into the country. I got a lot out. I ought to put something back in, And since I'm retired, I've got the time to do it.
And I say hear to that because if nothing else, if people like you are doing some level of beyond the civic duty that is voting, then the system has some hope. Obviously, you've been on hold for a little bit. I'm kind of frustrated this evening because I dared to hope that things were going to be different.
And I'm still hoping. Things could be different. It may be that there are people smarter than me dealing with the situation.
And, you know, maybe that's the case here, but that's the outside bet that I'm making at this point.
Well,
this Attorney General guy just really, really gives me the creeps.
Right. Right. I was pulling for Robert Kennedy Jr.
Oh, that'll take a little bit of, that'll give me a little bit of hope if he actually does get in at EPA.
Yeah.
Because I know that, I just want a camera on Don Blankenship and the chairman of Consol Energy and all these other coal mobsters. If the day that Robert Kennedy would be confirmed as head of the EPA, I just want, you know, full-time camera coverage of all the coal mob so that we can watch their heads just spontaneously combust. That would give me some hope. I would have loved to have seen him as Attorney General, frankly.
Yeah. I want to see some good people in there. You know, we've got a president-elect who's obviously smart, and he's got to be tough. If he taught constitutional law, you've got a law background too, don't you?
I had a cup of coffee in law school, yeah.
Yeah, me too. And, those people. If they're teaching constitutional law, they stand up there every day, and they got 100 victims sitting in front of them, and they can take, several every day and absolutely destroy them. Is that the way it was?
Yeah, yes, it was. Well, there were good ones and there were bad ones. The bad ones, the bad law professors, I often said, the problem with using the Socratic method is that it requires a Socrates in order to be effective.
Yeah.
I got kind of worked up at a couple of them and said, you know, I'm paying a lot of money for this. Yeah. When are you going to start teaching?
Yeah.
And you're going to have a couple of those in any given academic environment. But mostly, yeah, there were some that you didn't dare go into their class unprepared.
Absolutely. And, and even if you were prepared, you sat there shaking, hoping you wouldn't be called on.
Right. In fact, there, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was a cartoonist down at the University of Texas. And he wrote a comic strip called, oh Lord, have I lost that? I can't remember the name of the strip now, but, I-Beam. And it followed the arc of the career of a college student going through the University of Texas and then through the University of Texas Law School. And there was one point in there where the law professor was calling, Mr. I-Beam, Mr. I-Beam, Mr. I-Beam. And you see the panel of Mr. I-Beam sitting back there digging through his book bag saying, I know I've got my death ray in here somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. But. You know, whatever doesn't kill you, I guess, makes you stronger.
Yeah, that's the optimist's view.
Yeah.
But you have to remember that the guy who came up with that phrase went absolutely crazier than a sprayed roach insane later, namely Nietzsche.
But yeah, well, I did learn a lot.
Oh, it's a magnificent educational experience.
Oh yeah, and the use of logic is phenomenal. Something that they don't teach you anywhere else is the use of logic in analyzing problems.
Yes. I think law school is the ultimate. It's the ultimate cap to a liberal arts career.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be. I was an engineer, so it was a shock.
Yeah, because all your numbers always added up, didn't they?
That's right.
They quit adding up the minute you enter 1L.
Yeah, and I, you know, now I'm dealing with fifth graders in the life sciences, and every experiment doesn't come out the same.
No, I guess not.
Which is a shock.
Well, what's that case you get in first year torts? Somebody versus Long Island Railroad, and it's all about foreseeability.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You're sitting there going, well, this was the wrong result.
It's the guy with the fireworks? Or?
Yeah, yeah, dynamite or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't remember the plaintiff's name, but you're going, well, no, this is just wrong and crazy and bad. And all the Supreme Court decisions from, like, 1880 to 1920, it's just, you know, if you want to get it wrong, they got it all wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you look at some of the cases that come up today and you say, is this for real or is this one of these law school?
See, we've got one of those things happening in West Virginia right now, Larry, because some people may remember that I mentioned this fact a couple of years back. The West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals had a case coming up to it was called the Harmon versus Massey. And it was a case where Massey had deliberately run another coal company completely out of business through some of the filthiest bad business tactics ever witnessed. And they got a $55, $60 million judgment hung on. Well, it went up to the Supreme Court, and by that time, the head man at Massey, a swine by the name of Don Blankenship, had done bought himself a West Virginia Supreme Court justice, spent $3 million on him, getting him on the court. And he was begged to recuse himself because the conflict of interest was one you could drive a truck through. And he refused, and lo and behold, the verdict was overturned, largely on his vote. Well, that thing has been accepted. His refusal to recuse himself has been accepted by the United States Supreme Court on certiorari. And we will see now, you know, but then again, this is the same Supreme Court of the United States that said, what? Scalia's going duck hunting with his buddy Dick Cheney? And Cheney's got litigation before the court? Well, he doesn't have to recuse himself. So, you know, one wonders.
Here's one that I recently ran across. A guy was charged with stealing communion wafers.
Oh, I saw that.
And I wondered, well, how could he steal them? They were being offered to him, right?
Well, but not really, because if it's in the Roman Catholic Church, you can only have the magic cracker if you know all the magic words.
Well, apparently the priest was handing them out when he grabbed.
Oh, when he grabbed it, reached his hand into the, right, yeah.
So they were being offered. So was he stealing when he did what was offered?
And how do you establish fair market value for the body of Christ?
Right. You know, does consecration increase the value? So how do you decide whether it's grand theft or shoplifting or...
Kidnapping! Kidnapping!
Oh, okay, yeah.
Body of Christ, done been consecrated.
But can you kidnap a dead body?
Oh, maybe it was necrophilia. Wait,
oh, okay.
Christ didn't die.
Oh.
We're back to kidnapping.
That should be an interesting trial.
Without a doubt.
The disturbance was caused by not by the defendant, but the parishioners around him.
Of course, he could argue that there was only one piece of the host in there, and it multiplied, and he was just grabbing a part of the miracle, and, you know, these things just happen all the time in their little world.
Yeah, which part of the body was it?
Yeah. Oh dear. Hey, Ma, I got an earlobe.
Yeah.
Hey, Larry, good to hear from you, my friend.
Okay, well, anyway, part of my job was to defend the First Amendment because one of the things in our area is that you can actually wear your campaign T-shirt and to vote or your button. You can't carry a big sign or a singing hat or whatever, you know, but you can, you know, wear your shirt or whatever. And some people object to that, but you know, we let them do that. So I have to defend the First Amendment. So here I am, an atheist, defending the First Amendment in a Baptist church parking lot.
You're lucky your head didn't explode.
It was fun. I'll tell you, it was fun. Apparently, this is a fairly liberal Baptist church, but, you know.
Now you're going to make my head explode.
the irony was something. And then some people come up and say, how come you're voting in a Baptist church? What's wrong with, you know, that? And the answer is, well, it'd be better not to, but when my supervisor of elections was asked about that, she said, well, she liked to use churches because on Tuesday there's nobody there. And I almost burst into laughter, you know. Because, yeah, there's never anybody there.
Although for the Seventh-day Adventurers, that might be their Wednesday, so we'll never know.
Yeah, right.
It sounds like you're going to be up for doing it again in a couple of years then.
I hope, if I'm not too old and feeble. It is demanding physically, and I would encourage people to sign up to do that if they possibly can, because in this area, we have a lack of Democrats to sign up as election workers, and it's a tough job, you know, for the supervisor of elections to hire several hundred people to work and to train them to work one day and not have any glitches. There's no learning curve allowed.
Oh, no, it's got to be mistake-free or heads roll, right?
Right. And, of course, we do make, you know, humans make mistakes. But we try to, you know, keep them down to, you know, minimal level. But it is a tough job to deploy all the equipment and people that are trained to handle all the weird situations, and we do have weird situations.
What kind of voting machines were you guys using?
We have the Optiscans. I think they're built by Sequoia.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a paper ballot. You mark it with a marker and then feed it into the machine. It tabulates it right there, but it falls down into the bottom.
Right.
And then we have to have people from both parties, you know, election workers that are registered both parties to be there whenever ballots are handled. And to take them out, you know, they take them out, they count, you know, how many there were, and they have to do the accounting of how many ballots they received, how many were cast, how many were spoiled, and all that, and balance that bookwork out. And then they're sealed in boxes, and they have to go to the supervisor of elections office with the clerk and somebody of an opposite party. I guess we don't have enough third parties to have three people go. But, you know, it's fairly rigorous.
Well, it sounds like it is. I had my relatives, well, my grandmother, several aunts, work the polls, dare I say, religiously every time it came, and took great pride in it as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I've wondered if maybe it's not time for, you know, the tender age of 45. Maybe I should get active.
That would be a good idea, because what we need is more real people involved. You know, if there's nothing wrong going on, then for the election supervisor, that's good, because there's an independent observer that says, hey, everything's on the up and up.
Exactly. Exactly.
And if there is, then, hey, people like you and me can blow the whistle.
Very true. Very true.
You know, it's our country. We ought to be involved in doing things. We can't just sit back.
No, we can't. And that, you know, that's part and parcel of what this whole thing is about. That's why there's a horn. Yeah, because we ain't sitting back.
You're right. It's work, too.
Well, that's
what it's all about, is work. All wealth is created by labor.
Here, here. Exactly. Thank you very much, Larry, and I look forward to talking to you very soon.
Okay.
All right. Bye now. Larry calling from Florida. And let's see what happens when I press this button. Hey, welcome to Florida.
Hey. How's it going, Bob?
It's all right. How about you?
I just got the tar scared out of me.
How so?
20 minutes. Well, you know, I'm down here in Salem on for this conference and all, so I thought I'd call back and check my messages. So I dialed my number, and it rang, and wouldn't you know, somebody from the Hillsborough Fire Department picked up.
What?
And it's like, huh? You know, I said, okay, I first had a, oh, I've got the wrong number. He said, oh, no, I don't think you do. Apparently, this is so bizarre, because I got that lifeline unit, and apparently, I left the button at home. I left it in my chair, because, you know, I'm not going to get up here, and that kind of thing. And apparently, it went off. But here's the freaky part about this. I got a test call on it Sunday night before I left, and I told them, by the way, I'm going to be out of town for 3 days. So, you know, it's just bizarre. So, you know, I called in, and apparently, you know, they came in because Lifeline called them. And, of course, my landlady let them in, which, you know, because they got to, you know, even though she told them I wasn't, you know, wasn't there, but
they wanted, yeah, yeah, they felt duty bound to, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, I was like.
But you're a ninja. You could have actually been in the room and away before they knew it, so.
Oh, yeah, right. But I'm going to give it, well, maybe I shouldn't give them the benefit of the doubt, but I'm going to, but it's like, now, this has happened before, because Lifeline has done this to me when I'm, you know, it's went off, but they've always called me, and this time they didn't. And it's like, I told you I wasn't going to be home, at least calling when this happens before this. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't be panicking. Maybe I.
Well, I don't think you've got anything to panic about. But, you know, this is a country where the Fourth Amendment is taken as advisory only. I would go through, you know, when you get home, I'd go through everything in my house with a fine-tooth comb, make sure, you know, the family silver's not gone or anything.
Yeah. Oh, man, but that was a shock.
Oh, that's got to be creepy. You know, I was thinking, Gene, I was thinking of you just the other day. I saw one of those fun little phony motivational posters.
Yeah.
And it was a picture of an empty room with a big banner that said Ninja Convention. And the caption under it was Ninja Convention, packed house. And all the chairs, of course, were empty.
I got to go find that one when I get home. With, oh, man. So, well, I haven't really gotten a lot of national news because I've been in meetings all day. Locally, I guess, one of the paper mills up here in St. Helens is laying off 300 people. All that good stuff. So President-elect Obama picked a not so good attorney general, huh?
Yeah, but the big thing breaking right now, and I've had it from five or six listeners already, headline, Dick Cheney, Alberto Gonzalez indicted in South Texas. No, it's not a joke. South Texas grand jury has indicted Vice President Dick Cheney and former Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez on charges related to the alleged abuse of prisoners in Willacy County's federal detention centers.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, although I think that it might have been a year ago, I think I put up something. It might have been Arizona, but there was something along those lines in that state, too.
Well, what this has, apparently, among other things, Cheney had an investment position in something called the Vanguard Group, and they hold interests, shall we say, in the private prison companies that run the federal detention centers in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And it accuses Cheney of a conflict of interest and, quote, at least misdemeanor assaults on detainees by working through the prison companies.
Well, I guess there's a reason George has to put some pardons out then, I guess.
Let's see. How's it work? He pardons Cheney and then resigns, and Cheney pardons him.
Yeah, something like that. So, you know, it's just, yeah, welcome to America in the early 21st century. Oh, boy. Well, I hope they make it stick in some way. I don't know what they'll get out of it, but I wonder if the I realize it's awful late for the impeachment.
Yeah, impeachment. I think it's not so much that impeachment's off the table now. They've taken the table.
Yeah, although, you know, this could allow maybe some foreign, if it gets turned down, maybe the UN would, well, not the UN, but the foreign governments could intervene and say, look, you've got, you know, something along, maybe Pinochet, it might not be a big deal, but would it be enough to bring him in? I don't know. You're the law person.
I don't either. I imagine that there will be some sort of plea of executive immunity from prosecution.
Yeah, but...
But the thing is, all bets are off when he leaves office.
Yeah. And besides, you do know he, if you look at his business practices, he's got some shady deals in his, on his stock.
Oh, he's one big shady deal. He shoots people in the face.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I wonder if anybody's going to follow him up on that, because, I mean, if you can't get him for what he did in office, maybe you can get him for the stuff he did before. So, it's now, like you say, once he's out of office, what kind of immunity does he have?
He doesn't. He's no longer criminally immune. What they'll argue is that the indictment was no good because it was rendered while he was still vice president.
Well, yeah, I guess. Probably, but... Boy, I go away for one day and the world goes weird.
Well, you know, look, no good deed goes unpunished, Gene. You know that.
I guess so. So, and all I had all this good internet withdrawal too. Okay, well, I'll let you get on to USC College, but I had to call and share that because that was darn.
Yeah, that's bizarre. We got a piece of mail here the other day that came without an envelope.
Oh.
Yeah.
As long as you didn't have any white powder, I guess you're okay. sorry. I don't mean to.
No, I understand. I understand. Yeah. Well, you take care, Gene, and I look forward to hearing from you soon. And enjoy your time away.
I'll try.
Clear out the cobwebs, come back refreshed, and then remember, coffee breaks over, back on your head.
You know, the first thing I do when I get home is take a shower because I can't use the shower facilities here.
Oh!
Yeah, the chairs on one end, the shower heads and things are on the other end of the wall, and my arms just aren't quite that long.
No, and I don't think the water pressure is good enough to, you know, hose you down from that distance anyway.
Oh, I probably could do that, but who wants to bathe in ice cold water? And I don't have a stick to push the thing over.
Okay. Nice hot shower after you've made sure that everything's where it's supposed to be.
Okay, that'll be thing number two to do when I get home.
All right. You take care, Gene.
I'll see you soon.
All right. Bye. News Ninja Gene, the man who reads the internet, the entire internet every morning, taking a little break away from it. Can you imagine that? You get away and you find you call your own home to get and somebody picks up the. That's got to be creepy. That's like Hitchcockian. That's like something out of a Pink Floyd album. Hello, someone's answering. God. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Am I on again?
You're on.
Oh, I'm on. Good.
Hey, Dave.
Dave again.
Yeah.
I have a list. You know. Can I just read you a list quickly?
Yeah, sure.
You've been all over the place. I've been on hold for a while, and I've got lost.
Yeah, we got some ADD radio going on this evening, I think.
Yeah, all over the place, all over the map. Big Three are in trouble because they've sold what they decided the public wanted and pushed that hard instead of listening to what people want. That was a way back when you were talking about the car stuff.
Yeah.
For me, healthcare should be a basic human right. Profiting from sickness is obscene. I think you went pretty close to that. If they fix the economy the way they're talking about, the environment is absolutely screwed. Infinite growth on a finite planet, question mark, is in my list here.
The word you're looking for is cancer.
The sore on the face of Mother Earth gets bigger.
Yeah.
The trigger, it's called empty your purse. I think that's what Rage Against the Machine said. And I think that sums it up really nicely. And Bulls on Parade. That's a line from the song.
Yep.
The few at the top don't give a crap about Joe Average. They've got the game rigged and that's all they care about. Corporate guilt, never punished. And on the subject of Colombia, it's a great place to train mercenaries. So that's what the excuse for the drug problem. You know, you're talking about Chiquita Bananas. Hawaii is only a state of the U.S. because of sugar and corporate shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah. United Fruit, anyone? Dole?
Well, yeah, exactly. The whole of Central America, pretty much.
Yeah, that was for a long time, that was the state of United Fruit.
Exactly. You know, and then you're talking about, you know, Ben's government, people in government. People go into government, and then they do favors for companies, knowing full well that company will reward them afterwards, you know. Look at Tony Blair. Look at all these guys. They all do it for what's coming at the end, for what they can scam out of it when they go back, supposedly, to the private world. It's BS. It absolutely is. You know, the whole damn thing. And like I say, this is my list here. You were talking about 4,000 dead people. I mean, 4,000 is a drop in the bucket.
Well, those are the ones that Chiquita was responsible for.
Yeah. But, I mean, you look at other stuff like the mentality of people who can deal with this. I can't. I mean, I'm trying really hard not to kind of just lose it here, just listening to this stuff. But you look at stuff like, you know, the sanctions against Iraq killing 500,000 kids. And Pelosi said the price was worth it. Ask one of the kids, please. You know, this is the mentality of these people. They don't have a conscience. They can't have and say a phrase like that.
And yet, there are people in government with consciences. We know that.
They never get to the top, though, now, do they?
They stay thoroughly marginalized.
They're deliberately marginalized. A thing that I've said to a few people is that here's the difference. You have people who have a line beyond which they can't go. They'll say, no, I can't do that and live with myself. But all these people in high up in government don't have that line. They'll do anything that they have to do. And
is that because the primary job requirement for high political office in this country is just blind ambition? And the ambition trumps everything else. The ambition trumps the morals. The ambition trumps the compassion. The ambition trumps ethics.
That line isn't there. That line isn't there.
Yeah, well, it doesn't really trump anymore because the other cards aren't in the game.
Yeah. You know? And you were talking about the government. I mean, we need a Control-Alt-Delete on the White House, don't we?
It would appear so.
And I was listening to the guy talking about getting people into vote. Great, really, you know, awesome. Go out there and get people active. The problem is, though, that people don't vote from knowledge. They vote from prejudice. Because
some do, Dave, some do.
Well, the vast majority, or else the U.S.
The more profound question for me, or issue for me, is not that they vote out of prejudice and not knowledge, but the damned poor choices that we wind up with, I've talked till I'm blue in the face about this, Dave. You know, we talk about, you know, if we're talking about who we're choosing in November, well, it's too late by then. For those of us who want to bring a more liberal vision to America, the time to be talking about it is now, because what you're going to be doing is running somebody in the primary.
You know, one of the things that I find for me is when people say to me, well, if you don't vote, you can't complain. For me, it's completely the other way around. If you do vote, you've just said, I'm prepared to take part in your rigged game. That's what you're saying when you vote for me. I go down there And I always write on the paper, none of the above, thank you very much. I go down there, but that just goes in as a spoil ballot, which is wrong. There should be a box on there, none of the above. And I'll tell you what, I bet 80% would tick that box.
And that's why there isn't one.
There.
Yeah, we'd be in do-overs from now till hell freezes over.
But the point would be that then no one could stand up and say we have a mandate. Because if you get 40% of the country votes and you get 50% of the vote, you've still got a mandate in my eyes. You've got 20% of the vote. And, you know, I mean, my politics are fairly extreme. I mean, personally, I am an anarchist. I absolutely am. I believe in personal responsibility. I have no right, more rights than anybody. But I have the same rights as everybody, in my opinion. So all these people who want to rule over me have no right to do that because they have nothing more than me. They have no more rights than me. You know, nothing ever changes anything unless there's people on the streets. That's the only thing that's ever changed anything in politics over the years, over the centuries.
And sad to say, that's universal, Dave. That's not the United States. That's not limited to the West.
I'm sorry, I was talking about the states and then went off. I'm talking about the political systems that are generally on this planet. Yeah.
Right.
Not just the US. I mean, the UK, same deal. What choice have you got? You've got conservatives under the name of Labour. They're all in the pockets of the banksters. They're all in it for their own gain when they come out of politics. I mean, look at that Mandelson slime in England. I mean, he could crawl under a snake's belly with a tall hat on. He's so low. You know, and these are the people that stand up there and say, well, this would be a good idea. This is what I think we should be
doing. And yet we talk about these things, Dave. And there are people... There are people who go out there and run on the agenda that you and I are discussing or describing.
Yes.
And we seldom see them elected.
You know what's really interesting? I find that you're absolutely right, yes. But I find that when I talk to people and I hit them with a big pile of logic and give them some information, usually they'll go, I haven't thought about that. And go off and think, and I've had a few people come back and say, you know what you said the other day? That was really interesting. But when you try and run for anything, your voice is then the corporate media. That's the only voice you're allowed to have in the especially in the US, but it's similar most countries. It's only a matter of degree. So the only voice you're allowed to have is the voice of the corporate monster. What you're doing and why I listen to you and why I actually pick the phone up and rant is because I'm trying to find a voice. I'm trying really hard to find a voice here. And not just for Canada, because for me, again, going back, countries for me are a total fiction. You know, we live on a planet that's in deep trouble. And that's what we have to see. And that's what people all over the place have to see and not be divided and conquered. Countries are an invention of the people who want to rule. And anyone who wants to rule, in my opinion, is absolutely the last person that should ever be given power over others. Anyone who wants it.
I love that line from the movie Matewan, where the labor organizer is answering the question as to why he refused to fight in the First World War. And he says, all I seen was workers killing workers.
Yep. Have you ever watched All Quiet on the Western Front, the original one?
I've seen it and read it.
Yeah, me too. In fact, I have a copy in my hand right here. You know, I mean, there's a bit where they're sitting around the fire there and say, well, who wanted this war? I've never even seen an Englishman until I came over here, and I'm damn sure they didn't meet any German. So why are we shooting at each other? I'm sure the Kaiser didn't want a war. And then one guy says, yeah, but look who's making a load of money out of this. All the people making all the guns and stuff, they're making a fortune. They want war. That's in there. Right in there.
I read a very interesting little story earlier today, I think out of the Washington Independent, about the demise of a new warship system that the Navy had been pushing and pushing and pushing for, and we spent billions of dollars developing it. And then a few months ago, the new Secretary of the Navy sat down and said, we don't want it anymore.
Well, no, his friends had got enough cash at that point.
It was a new destroyer system that was $2 to $4 billion per ship. And now that the, but no, it's not like they've made enough money because the defense industry's out saying, oh, holy cow, no, you got to build, look, we got all this R&D time in here. What are you doing? What are you saying? And there's really no rock solid answer for any of this.
There is, there's no rock solid answer. Talk about renaming the government departments. I mean, in the Justice Department needs just two letters added in front of it, an I and an N. And the Defense, Department of Defense, bullshit. It's the Department of Offense.
Well, it is what it was known as through the majority of the American experience, and that is the War Department.
Exactly. Let's be honest here. Don't give me this.
But that was just too crass. That was too gauche. That was too overt. Too honest.
There's a place called Sellafield in the north of England where they reprocess nuclear waste. Well, supposedly do. I mean, no one's actually disposed of an ounce of the stuff yet. I don't know why they want to make more, but that's another subject. But it used to be called Windscale. And there was a big accident there in the 50s. Probably one of the bigger ones before Three Mile and Chernobyl was what was called at the time Windscale. And so they decided to rename it because that name sounded sinister. And some comedian I remember hearing said, and they've also renamed radioactive fallout as magic moonbeams. You know, what's in a name?
Sure. A rose by any other name would glow in the dark.
I don't know. I'm on the wrong planet. I have to be. There was a mistake made when I was put here. Do you feel like that?
Usually, I'm not that advanced, Dave. Usually for me, it's more like I'm in the wrong time.
No, I'm on the wrong planet, for sure.
Every now and then, I do catch myself wondering when we'll get to that, you know, Star Trek time when we...
Not a hope.
No?
Not a hope. Humans will be long gone before that happens, the present rate of progress. And I use the term progress very loosely, of course, just a phrase.
Yeah, we need, well, you know, we keep this stuff up and don't get serious about it. We can just hang a big, the big blinking sign, the best of luck to the cockroaches.
Yep. Oh, there we go. And that's the thing, you know, the Earth will be fine. It's only humans that are screwed. I mean, there was a, I can't remember the guy's name, biologist said, if every insect was to disappear off the planet tomorrow, there'd be no life in 50 years. If every human went tomorrow, life would flourish in the next 50 years. So the Earth will be fine once humans are out of the picture, you know.
Well, if we don't manage, to utterly kill it.
Sorry?
If we don't manage to utterly kill it.
Well, I'd like you to say the cockroaches will do it. They're really hard. The environment would have to get real bad. And, you know, and all that stuff in deep sea vents and stuff, all that stuff would live. You know, we can't do it that bad. We can't kill every organism on it, as long as there's one evolutionary.
Yeah, and as long as we've left something, then evolution takes back over, and really, it's the great big do-over. All of which was brilliantly covered in Kurt Vonnegut's Galapagos.
Not read it.
You will soon. And
yeah, I should.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Dave, good hearing from you, my friend, and never be shy, never apologize for ringing in.
No, it's not a case of apologizing. It's just that I find when I'm on hold for a while, I end up with a list that starts at the beginning of the show, you know.
Right.
That's something that's burning my ears all the way through. Terrible thing being on hold.
And
I won't waste your time.
Well, you're not wasting it, and hold is hell. I've been there.
I know. Anyway, keep doing what you're doing.
All right.
You're a whippersnapper at 45, but you're doing a great job.
Well, keep setting them up and knocking them down. You know,
yep.
And periodically just put the saddle soap on my boots and go to my happy place.
Yep.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Dave.
Have a good one.
Bye. Let's see, a couple of lines open if you want to jump in. And I'm going to get that. If you're still there, I'm going to still be here. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, Joe Vecchio here.
Hey, Joe, what's up?
How are you?
I'm all right.
Just listening to the conversation with Dave, and I really don't have any answers either. I'm not as much of an anarchist as Dave is, although I'm a hardcore working class liberal, as you know. But, yeah, I really don't know what it's going to change. And I'm particularly angry about the Lieberman thing. And I talked to my good friend Athena Fascistan, who, as you know, is as big an Obama supporter as you're going to find. And even he's pissed off about it. But he just thinks it's typical senatorial good old boy politics at play there.
Well, I started off pissed off about Lieberman, and then I read about this really creepy person who's going to be the attorney general, and it's bleh. And that made Lieberman mild by comparison.
Well, the guy hasn't taken office yet, so we don't really know exactly what's going on. All I can say is that the man has been very disciplined up till this point. I just have to trust his judgment. I mean, we elected him to trust his judgment, so we'll have to see what happens. Because he really doesn't have any power to do anything just yet. You know, all it can do is make some suggestions. So I really don't know what else to tell you about that except just wait and see. Wait and see.
And that's all we can do.
Right, right. Well, you know, we did the best we can. And, you know, I agree with you in that if we did the whole thing about, none of the above, we'd never elect anybody, ever. Because nobody wants anybody for any position. It's always, you know, it seems to be, you know, a choice between a lesser of two evils, or as other people say, the evil of two lessers. We have to do the best we can. And we have to be more active. I think, you know, guys like Dave and you and myself and my friend Athane and everybody who listens to the show and everybody who's out there writing blogs or reading blogs regularly, we tend to be a bit more informed about things. And most people really don't pay attention that much. Most people aren't going to be concerned about whether Lieberman is the chairman or who the attorney general is going to be. It doesn't, to them, it doesn't affect their lives, and they really don't care. You know, they'll punch a button every 4 years, and that's it. And hopefully we can get more people a little bit more involved. I mean, that was the reason that the New Deal was so successful, is because there were a lot more people that were active in politics. And they stayed that way for a long, long time, which is a big reason why Republicans were out of power. So...
Yeah, well, look, you're right. He's not president yet. Nobody's done anything yet. But Joe, we are either left leaning sycophants and no different from the right wing, or we must maintain our principles even when the people that we elect seem to run contrary to them.
Sure, and we talked about this. I got into a bit of a discussion on the Avedon's website, the Sideshow. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Yeah,
where people were, you know, upset about, you know, some of Obama's decisions, and of course, when they talk about maybe we should elect more liberals as president, I knew exactly who they were talking about, and it was somebody that, you know, the Head-On Network supported during the primaries, and that was Dennis Kucinich. And I tried to make the point, say, look, I happen to like Dennis Kucinich a lot. And I think he's a great congressman, and I hope he continues to be a great congressman for years on end. But just believing in what somebody, agreeing with somebody says is not enough. You have to understand, or you have to believe that they have the capability of putting that in action. So you have a choice between somebody who's much more ideologically viable for you, and doesn't get anything done, against somebody who will get some of the things done that you want, but not all of them, because they may not be as ideologically pure, but they're better at politics and they're better at the art of getting things done. And, of course, you know, people accuse me of being an Obama cultist, which I am not. I'm just impressed with the way he's run his campaign so far. And I have to believe that with the Lieberman and the choice he's made for Attorney General and the other choices he's made so far, that he knows what he's doing. And I just have to trust that, because there's really not much more we can do about it right now.
So if it was up to Joe, because I mean I have to answer this question for myself. Even though it could be that every email I write, every letter I write to my elected representatives just goes, I mean, you know, if they bother to print it, just goes straight out of the printer and into the garbage.
Yeah, it's a black hole. Yeah.
I still have to write them.
Oh, sure, sure.
So with that in mind, if you knew, as we know, that the attorney general designee had been a defender of a company that literally funded and hired death squads, Wouldn't you feel a little bit obligated to at least write your senators and say, you know, vote this guy down or get this guy's nomination withdrawn? We're liberals, Joe. We spent 8 years hollering we don't torture. Torture is a crime.
Well, no, I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't.
No, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but, you know.
You can and, you know, keep going with the radio show and let people know your feelings. But there's a difference between, to me, there's a difference between that and demanding that we elect people who, you know, while perfectly willing to do the right thing as far as liberal agenda is concerned, simply aren't capable of it. Dennis Kucinich may pick a better attorney general, maybe. But one that you know goes for the right cause, but doesn't know how to go about getting those prosecutions done. I mean, that's the important thing. You've got to be able to get these things done. It's like if you're general.
Yeah, but Joe, the attorney general never tries a case.
Well, they set the basic agenda for what the Justice Department does.
True.
Unless you're a Bush appointee, which means you're going to do whatever's in George Bush's best interest and to screw everybody else. And, of course, his corporate pals as well. All I could say is, you know, and I feel disappointed, and I don't know as much about this gentleman as you do, apparently, is that we should just trust his judgment at this point and just see what happens when we take office. I mean, he's been very straight about, at least in interviews, Mr. Obama's been talking about how he's against torture and he wants to put an end to it. Let's see what he does.
And then out of the other, and then out of the,
we're actually listening to what a politician says, but just watch what he does when he's in office.
And then out of the other corner of his camp, they say that they have no interest whatsoever in prosecuting any war criminals.
Well, I think they're just saying that, and I think what they're doing is they're setting themselves up to say, hey, we didn't really want to, but our hand was forced. And plus, you know, Obama is going to have much more help this time around. I don't think the Democrats are going to be stabbing him in the back the way they stabbed Bill Clinton in the back, because Mr. Clinton could have gotten a lot more done, I think, if he didn't have other Democrats, you know, working against him as well. And that's something that we need to point out. And plus, Mr. Clinton didn't have anywhere near the kind of majority that Mr. Obama is going to have to work with come January 20th.
And there sits Joe Lieberman, Joe.
Well,
with the gavel to the Homeland Security Committee, and probably one person out of a relatively small body who can do more to throw up roadblocks and to impede the progress of the administration if they are doing the right things than just about anybody else in that body.
Well, whenever I have questions about stuff like that, I always talk to my friend Nathan, and he is as pissed off about it as anybody. But what he says, and he has more experience, is that this is a Senate good old boys thing, and that Mr. Lieberman will be kept on an extremely short leash, and that the second he starts to go out of line, they can pull that chair right away from him. You know, if the Thane had his way, Mr. Lieberman, the only committee he'd chair is the Committee for Shoe Polishing.
Yeah, well, I wanted him to have the Toilet Paper Committee, but, yeah.
Okay, well, you know, whatever.
The Thane and I are on the same wavelength.
He should be kicked off of all committees completely, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know. Just as punishment, because, you know, he's got four more years, and quite frankly, I think we're going to work to keep him out of office completely.
And each Congress is 2 years long, and once the appointment is made, under the, you know, they literally rewrite the rules with every Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And once those rules are adopted, you can't just yank a gavel.
Well, that's not what the Thane says. I have no idea. He knows the procedures more than I do. That's what I told him. I said he's going to be there for at least the next 4 years until this election comes up again. But I don't know. I don't know what kind of deal they made in the back. A couple of senators spoke out against him, but that's it. And Mr. Obama was very noncommittal, just basically saying, well, let the Senate take care of its own. And it's probably a good deal because of it's a big good old boys club. They all watch out for each other.
And I think that's one of the most sickening facts out of this, Joe, is that Obama did say let the Senate take care of its own. And yet Lieberman is out there with a quote saying,
I think I know the quote you're talking about.
By the appeal from...
You know, it just shows that the left, you know, the angry left doesn't have any influence on politics.
No. This is the beginning of a new chapter, and I know that my colleagues in the Senate Democratic Caucus were moved not only by the kind words that Senator Reid said about my longtime record, but by the appeal from President-elect Obama himself that the nation now unite to confront our very serious problems.
Well, you know, that's a typical scummy talk from a typical scummy guy.
He's a dirty, filthy little liar is what he is, because Obama didn't say that about him.
Hmm.
You know, you're right. Obama said, let the Senate take care of the Senate.
Right.
But Joe Lieberman's painting this up as though Obama interceded on his behalf. And he's a no-good, scummy liar.
Remembering the time that before the whole campaign was really going in full swing, when Obama took Lieberman over to the side and gave him a good talking to.
Yeah.
And I wonder what that conversation was all about, and I wonder what was going through their head when they were thinking about how to do this. And I'm thinking, it's all politics, and it's all just trying to make sure that you have cooperation from certain people. But I don't know how it's going to play out. And maybe if they can indeed yank his chair at any time, then maybe they can keep him on a short leash. I don't know. But listen, that's not entirely what I wanted to talk to you about. I posted this on my blog on November 11th, the week after the election. It's a little poem that I put together, and I would very much like to read it on the air, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, please, go ahead. And that's cupofjoe.blogspot.com?
cupofjoe.blogspot.com, gaining notoriety every day. And then you 50 hits a day. Woohoo!
Hey, a reader is a reader.
I don't have a title for this poem. I just wrote it, and it just came out, and I finished it up. So here we go. It seems like an eternity ago we had prosperity, the future looking great for one and all. But it took only 8 short years to wreck our hopes and bring us tears. No one imagined how low we would fall. That's what you get when you elect a poster boy for brain defects, a bully who would drag us into war. Don't feel so bad if you were fooled. The newsmen loved this old buffoon. He wasn't like that pointy-headed boar. We didn't think he'd be so bad, maybe a little like his dad. 4 years and out, and then we'd be on track. So who'd have thought when he was told a terrorist would be so bold, he'd take a break while they planned an attack? 3,000 people had to die, and no one's sure exactly why. We'll never know what happened on that day. Were they complicit? Did they know? Was it a setup or a show? What morons is the nicest we could say? But never mind, a few days later, he stood inside that newborn crater and told us all that we would get them back. Now don't you worry, everyone, the bad guys will be on the run, so gear up, men, we're heading for Iraq. Now wait a minute, people said, are you all funny in the head? Hussein's a jerk, but no way he did this. Shut up, you traitors, they replied, and everyone was terrified, so off we went, a war we couldn't miss. At first it looked like we were winning, but that was only the beginning. For 5 long years we'd rule and oversee. We killed and tortured night and day, burned down their homes, drove them away. Ungrateful bastards, can't you see you're free? Some would have thought we've had enough of all those months of talking tough. The White House would be ours again, we cheered. But when the dust had gone away, the day after Election Day, we gave them all a lease for 4 more years. From there, things went from bad to worse, as if we were under a curse. Disasters seemed to spring up every day. We lost the city to a flood. The market crashed. The banks went dud. We wished that it would all just go away. But just as things were looking down, here comes this guy from old Chi-Town, the last guy you would ever think to see. A black guy with a funny name who didn't have a claim to fame, who told us to reclaim our dignity. From out of nowhere he arrived and promised we could turn the tide. Audacity and hope, they were his creed. And though he started from behind, he won our hearts, he won our minds. And hey, maybe he's the guy we really need. But still we wondered if we could win with this young guy so tall and thin. Would the country really listen to this man? November came along at last, and when our votes were finally cast, the answer was resounding, yes, we can. Now, no one's ever really sure of what the future has in store. There's lots to do, we all have to confess. But now at least we have some hope, now that we're rid of Mr. Dope, that we can start to clean up all this mess. It won't be easy, it won't be fast, we'll have to see how long it lasts, because ignorance and hatred never die. But there's no need to hesitate, there's naught to lose at any rate, we'll never really know until we try. So just remember lesson one, he cannot do it all alone, we'll need to work as one to see it through, because change ain't magic, don't you know, it takes hard work to make it go, and in the end, it's really up to you. And I know it was a little long, but thanks very much.
No, that's very, I hate to admit it, Joe, but I could hear this really, really kicking backbeat behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got a killer rap on your hand.
Yeah, maybe I'll talk to my friend who knows a little bit about music. Maybe we can set it to music. And actually, it came about because he wanted to write a song about Obama, and he asked me to put together some lyrics. And I don't know what the word for it, but the wording the syllables and stuff just kind of came into my head like that, and I don't really know where it came from. So.
Yeah, the scansion.
The scan is that what you call it? I have no idea. I don't know anything about music. So I threw something together, and once I got rolling with it, it almost wrote itself, you know?
Yeah, and I love it when that happens. Happens all too seldom for me, but that's a beauty. And that's available for viewing at cupofjoe.blogspot.com, correct?
That's right. It's a little down on the ways. I've had some long posts lately, so you'll have to scroll down quite a bit.
Okay, but back to it's November 11th, right?
Right, yes, sir. You can go back down there. So,
eminently findable. How's the rest of your world, Joe?
Doing a little better. I'm still going to my classes. And, in fact, I start a little project on Monday. There's a recycling company that refurbishes computers, and they're going to be doing some work at the college where I'm going. So I get, it's like 18 hours a week, $10 an hour, which is pretty good. And, plus you get a free computer out of it once you're finished.
Hey, can't argue with that.
Yeah, no, and it'll be a much better system than I have set up here. I really do need to improve what I've got because I've got, it's a lot of crap building it up. I've had it for a long time. It's time to redo the entire thing. So this will be a way of doing it. And hopefully just find some work. I mean, I'm just making do, which is the title of another post I just did. I'm just kind of going along and looking for work until I graduate this course. Once I do, then I'll have a better chance of getting an IT job where I can make some actual money as opposed to just relying on unemployment and food stamps. Because trust me, you can't rely on unemployment and food stamps.
Well, ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
And that's...
You know, I get, about $115 a week in unemployment. And, well, they were upping it to like $140 a month in food stamps, and I was getting like $88, $89. And trust me, that doesn't last very long, even when you're buying cheap food.
Well, if we really want to stimulate the economy, the first two things are unemployment and food stamps, frankly, because that's money that gets spent.
And I believe that the new administration will have that in mind, and the new Congress will work to improve that. They wanted to do more of it last time around. The Republicans kept blocking them. God knows, you know, you can give plenty of money to upset bankers on Wall Street who are missing their $250,000 a year salaries, though those who are making a lot more. But God forbid there's any money for any poor people, right?
Well, see,
by the way, when you were talking with Dave, other people should read is General Butler's treatise on how war is a racket. I mean, that's a brilliant essay right there.
Well, you know what I've been thinking about doing, and I don't want to violate any terms of any copyrights or anything. It's not a terribly long piece. But I've been thinking here in the fairly near future that I'll just do a chapter a night of that, and we'll have the audio version of it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that from a copyright point of view. I don't think anybody owns the copyright on it, to be perfectly honest. I think it should be public domain by now because that was printed in, what, the 20s, 30s, before?
And I want to learn more. I want to learn more about Smedley Butler because at one point he came to West Virginia one of his recuperative periods. He came to West Virginia and went into the coal business.
Hmm.
And that's the only mention. That's all you find mentioned in his Wikipedia biography. I'd love to know where he was and what he did, just from the historical standpoint.
Well, I'm sure if you do enough research, you can find it. I'm sure there's some people out there who knew that.
I hope to find it. Well, Joe...
You live in West Virginia, so maybe you can look up some local history and find out. That would be great to find out. Because I know very little about it. You know, and it's the stuff they should teach in history class, you know, I got.
Well, and see, that's the thing. That's the reason I ask that is he would have been in West Virginia at one of the most volatile times in our labor history, and it was only after he had been specially deputized to straighten up the police force in Philadelphia, after he'd been to West Virginia in the coal business, and after he had been sent to China, the Philippines, I think, Central America, Haiti. And every time as an enforcer of, frankly, capital, it was only after he did all of that he looked back on his life because he was really pissed off because he got left out of World War I, more or less. He was given a supply command. But only after he'd been through all of that and looked back did he turn around and write War is a Racket and said outright, I've been an enforcer. So it's interesting that those commands and those duties had on him. Because ultimately he got done, turned around, looked back at it, and said there was no honor in it. And this is a guy who won the Medal of Honor twice.
Hmm.
Which says something. Joe, well, good talking to you, brother.
The corporate world order. The corporate world order is a very tough thing to fight.
Yeah, and it's not like it's anything new. He proves that.
No, of course not. It's been going on And I like to talk about it. It's not, and you mentioned it too. It's not just this country. This is something that's been going on in world history. Who's my favorite writer from 2,500 years ago that I bring up time to time?
Oh, Thucydides? Yeah, sure.
And it's the same stuff. 2,500 years ago in Athens, almost the same exact thing happened. A bunch of people who, you know, got, you know, overinflated egos, thought they could rule the world, and, you know, guess what? It wrecked their civilization right there.
Yeah.
And they had to work very hard to wreck Athenian civilization. If people who know anything about that time in history,
that took some doing.
How powerful Athens was as a force in the Mediterranean at the time. And they had to work really hard to drag it into the dirt.
Well, they had to run it into the ditch themselves. It couldn't have been done. It couldn't have been done by the Peloponnesian alliance or the Spartan alliance all by themselves, without a doubt.
The Spartan alliance couldn't do it. They did it to themselves. They made a lot of stupid moves, and it was all just because of greed. I mean, they had no reason to want to attack Sicily. But they did it because, hey, you know, we can do anything.
Sicily never. Hey, wait a minute. Something's coming to me, Joe. Sicily never attacked them.
Right.
But they had to neutralize the threat. They had to have a preemptive war. They had to have the Pericles doctrine.
That's right.
No, actually, that would be the Alcibiades doctrine.
And you know what really pissed me off is that people were comparing Alcibiades to Bill Clinton. And it's like, please, you know, stop that.
Yeah, no, for sheer mendacity and disloyalty, you know, you really can't, no, Alcibiades is no one if not George Bush.
Mm.
And I don't think that violates Godwin's law.
Well, it's obviously a different situation because, you know, and it's funny because both the Athenians and the Spartans like to use the Persian Empire and both negotiate with them while they were fighting with each other back and forth. The Spartans, I think, did it more than the Athenians, but they were both doing it.
Well, exactly. I'm going to try to clear out a couple more of these blinking lights. I hate to leave folks on hold, Joe. Good talking to you, brother.
Sorry, I took up so much of your time.
Oh, no. Don't apologize. It was time well spent.
Okay. Well, listen, you take care, and I will try to call more often and keep you all posted on what's going on from the working man's point of view.
All right, and thanks for the poem.
Thanks, care. Take care, Bob.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Our good buddy Joe Vecchio, and filling 3 hours with 180 minutes run. Hey, welcome to the program. Huh. Okie doke. Nope. And nope. You guys always do that to me. So we'll just wrap up the program now, about 13 minutes before the hour. Just a few little odds and ends. This rolling in from Georgia, the person, not the state. She says, I thought I'd throw in a few cents. First of all, I am not ready to sit in a circle holding hands and singing anything that remotely smacks of let's make nicey now. I'm happy that Obama is taking the helm, but he's making moves that make me itchy. I hope this isn't a preview of coming attractions, or I'm going to have to leave my pitchfork and torch handy and stoke the fire for his feet. I'm still seething over the mess we're in, and they leave revolting Joe Lieberman in a position of authority? Why is it okay to throw us under the bus and let that rotten bastard stay where he is? I'm taking a let's wait and see attitude, but I still have an attitude, and at this point, with what's forming, it's not a very good one. Obama is not nearly as progressive as I'd like, so there is a measure of discontent. But again, we'll see, she says, with one eye squinted. And then, thank goodness for you, at least you mirror what I'm feeling, and I feel less alone. Those are the humbling words. Georgia says, keep fighting. Love to all of you and a big hug for Agnes. I will joyfully deliver it, Georgia. A little bit earlier in the day, I heard from our pal Patrick in Massachusetts. And pink effing 2-2 Democrats. He says, I'm sure you've seen this already, Bob, but breaking, Lieberman expelled from Pilates class in Senate gym. That from Josh Marshall. Why did we think anything would change? I hate to say it, but Ralph may have been right when he said there's no difference between the two parties. Remember, Al Gore in 2000 was not the same Al Gore that we have today. John Kerry, my senator, John Kerry, speaking up for Joe Lieberman, explain to me one more time how much money John Kerry had in his war chest when it was all over in 2004. I really, really, really want to scream. Pink tutu Democrats. Heifers. And I won't use the whole word because Pat has youngins, and they may be listening right now. He doesn't need to explain to them why Bob is saying those fun words. But, Lord, I understand. Marty in California says, we must not do what we did when Clinton got in. We let down. We cannot do that now. And with regard to the passport discussion I was having with Albert some time back. By the way, newly issued U.S. passports have fun little RFID chips in them to make it easier to keep an eye on you. Charming. Thanks, Marty. And lest I run off and decide to volunteer at the polls, all capital letters in the subject line, you can't volunteer at the polls. This from our pal Cindy. You already do your part with the horn. You inform people in an age without information. You cannot leave that microphone. It's more important than working the polls. Let someone without a radio station do the poll thing. I know, Cindy, I know. But no matter what we do, no matter how much we do, or how little, if you're like me, you're always left feeling like you haven't done enough. Like there's always one more thing to be done. Because there is always one more thing to be done. There's one more fight to be fought. On the way out the door with their pockets full of the White House silver, and the China already packed in crates and gone, the Bush administration is trying to ram a last-minute piece of filth down the American throat that will, quote, grant sweeping new protections to health care providers who oppose abortion and other procedures on religious or moral grounds. Kind of glad I got to this one late in the program because I would have been screaming. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, three members thereof, say that the proposal would overturn 40 years of civil rights law prohibiting job discrimination based on religion. Because, see, you have these right-wing thugs. If somebody gets to count their skin color as part of an application process, we can't have no affirmative action. If, on the other hand, some freak pharmacist is absolutely convinced that a married woman taking the pill is a violation of his God's a holy word, then you can discriminate affirmatively for that pharmacist. Or that doctor, or that nurse. This came up a while back in the discussion of Proposition Hate in California. I personally believe that an opponent of Proposition Hate, one who supports human rights, marriage equity for every American, in California should be able to look at a person. Let's say they're handing in their prescription and say, how did you vote on hate? Well, I voted for it. I won't keep marriage between one man and one woman. Well, then you need to go fill your prescription somewhere else because I won't do business with you. You're not welcome here. Get out of here. If you're not gone in the next 15 seconds out the front door, I'm calling the law on you. But I'm the only wild-eyed radical out there who's advocating that. Really, I think I'm the only one. On the other hand, there are millions who would deny a woman access to medication because of the precious little consciences of the fundies. God, I despise them. On the other hand, in the good news department, over 100 retired generals and admirals yesterday called for the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so that people can serve in the military without fear of retribution over their orientation. And that's the show this evening. Thank you very much for chiming in, for tuning in, for emailing, for participating in the chat room. The chat room, you know, is, after all, free, as are the message boards at headonradionetwork.com. You're free to just jump right in any old way you choose. The Head on Radio Network happens because you make it happen. We're here, and we will be here as long as you are there and you decide that this is worth having continue. The political season, the economy, has been crippling on everyone, and we're seeing it in terms of the funds that we receive from you to keep things going. If you have not yet participated, but you can spare it to do so, I urge you, please, to do so, so that this effort that gives voice to so many, that stands as a beacon of what conversation can be, of what awareness and alertness and cognizance of the world we live in can be, if this matters, and you can, please make use of the PayPal button on the website, or you can snail mail to 1038, head on 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, Personal Mailbox 318, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. And I hate making these appeals. I despise making these appeals. Play the lottery twice a week, hoping that one of these days we hit and I can get on the air and say, ain't nobody got to send nothing no more. But it hasn't happened yet. Because of you, however, and because of our dear friends, the hardest working, bravest people I know at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net and ColeRiverWind.org, we're able to do this. Without all of you together, however, we are not able. And so my thanks go to you, all of you listening, contributing to Coal River Mountain Watch for the work and for their dedication to keeping a sane voice for a clean, green future going. Our humble, heartfelt thanks to you all. Our thanks to John Fox, our chief engineer, to Peter Godbold, our IT professional, and to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Everything you hear comes through and off of White Rose servers. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
go to Mark in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good pick.
The president wants to spy on 200 million Americans without a warrant. Has he read this document which he has sworn to uphold?
Now, I will not have you libel Abraham Lincoln.
I don't understand the problem with registering guns. We register cars. Every nation has the right to self-defense under the United Nations Charter. Why shouldn't Israel exercise it?
Meet Mark Levy.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop, where we discuss all the news the government does not want you to know. I've been thinking a lot about Proposition 8, the California proposition passed on Election Day by a narrow margin of California voters, by 52 to 48. Proposition 8 modifies Equal Protection Clause of the California Constitution. It says that equal protection under the law does not apply to gay Californians. It applies to straight Californians. Gay Californians can continue to get married, of course. They just can't get married to anyone with whom they can be sexually intimate with whom they are sexually attracted to. They are required to marry straight people or anyone else to whom they are not sexually attracted. I was thinking carefully about this. I was listening to the arguments of the gay activists and also of the opponents of the bill. And it made me think about a particular minority in America. A sinful minority, one that practices an unnatural act. Some would call it a perverted act. You see, in America, as in Europe, as in Roman times, it's been understood that there are a certain group of people that have a certain preference, a certain orientation, if you will. And some say they're born that way. Some say that it's a choice. It made me think about my own grandfather. My grandfather grew up in the 1920s in Louisiana. When my grandfather was born, he expressed a preference. All through school, he had an orientation. He wanted to do something that school authorities knew to be wrong. Indeed, knew to be sinful. Knew to be inappropriate for modern society. He had this preference. He had this desire. He wanted to do things a certain way, but he was taught that it was wrong, that it was not the way to do things, that the great majority of Americans, indeed the great majority of human beings across the planet, didn't practice this sinful preference. And so he was taught that he should write with his right hand. See, my grandfather claimed to have a preference for the left hand. He claimed that he would prefer to write with his left hand. But we've long taught for many generations that the left hand is wrong. There's a reason why, etymologically, look it up, there's a reason why right means right. In Latin, the left is sinister. That's where we get the word sinister. It was understood that left-handed people, left-handed thoughts, left preference was an evil preference. It was a wrong preference. But right makes right. In fact, if you look at the language today, if you look at French, for example, you will see that those that are right, French, the word right in French is droit, spelled D-R-O-I-T. And right, as in English, right means right, right? The right hand means you're right, you're correct. The same is true in French. Droit means correct. It means right, as in right-handed. It means the law. The right hand is the law. And left? Left is gauche. You may have heard that word. Another word for clumsy. Another word for clumsy is maladroit. Maladroit. Bad right. If you're not right-handed, you're clumsy. Indeed, in Latin, dexter means right. And so for generations, ever since biblical times, ever since Roman times, church and state have come together to make clear that there is a right way. And that right way is the right hand. That the great majority of human beings are right-handed. Now there is, I admit, there is a small minority, no more than 10% of Americans, no more than 10% of human beings nationwide, and they prefer to write with their left hand. But the left hand is wrong.